I mean, yeah, sure, it was a little weird, but on the net, it was a positive. Dude, you cannot be serious. On the net, it's a positive.
Back at it, ladies and gentlemen and genderless beings. Listen, why? Episode 90, baby. January the 17th, year of the Lord, 2024. Headed out to North Charleston, Columbia, and Wilmington this weekend. We got some tour dates to announce for ya to get into. Let's see, we're in January 26th, 27th, Nashville, Tennessee. Three shows at the Ryman. You coming?
I'm coming, baby. I can't wait.
Oh, Alex is not in the studio today.
Alex is not in the studio.
Me and Andrew holding it down with a guest that I'll announce in a second. February, Greenville, South Carolina, Knoxville, sold out. Huntsville, sold out. I think there might be single tickets there. Amarillo, Wichita Falls, and Lubbock. Munhall, which is outside of Pittsburgh, sold out. Zanesville, Ohio, Cleveland, Ohio, March. We're going to Mobile, New Orleans, Houston, two shows in Detroit, Fort Wayne. I think we're adding a second show there. Peoria, Buffalo, Toronto, Erie, Durham, North Carolina, Macon, Georgia, and Chattanooga, Tennessee in April. We're coming to Rochester, St. Paul, Duluth, and then California, San Jose, Santa Rosa, Redding, and finishing up in Dayton and Lexington. How long was that? 30 seconds?
That you were just talking?
Yeah.
Yeah, probably about 30 seconds straight of dates.
Day. Here we are. Oh, hot show.
Hot show,
baby. Hot show. But brought to you by new sponsor. Dun, 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 dun. Hello Fresh, baby. You ever had a Hello Fresh?
Oh, yeah.
Dude, we're we're in deep in the Hello Fresh game. Let's just be honest.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie.
We're deep in the game. Let me tell you, Hello Fresh, whether your resolution is to save money, eat better, or stress less, HelloFresh is here to help you do all three. Say hello to your most delicious year yet with fresh ingredients, chef-crafted recipes at prices you like delivered right to your door. That's what HelloFresh is. I don't think we'd have to tell anyone what HelloFresh is.
No, if you don't know what HelloFresh is, you're living under a rock.
But sure. Yeah, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Now, I know some people that like don't listen to podcasts. I'm like, all right.
But even then, you still
like if they were like, hey, our new sponsor is McDonald's. They make hamburgers. They're like, yeah, we know what McDonald's is.
Yeah.
Everybody knows about HelloFresh?
For sure.
Yeah.
They're like the first meal kit that I remember.
First ones. Yeah. Here's how. All right. So my girlfriend, you know how she works. I work. This is the easiest. It's like because we want to cook, you know, mm-hmm. We're like, dude, we can't go out again and get the wings or we got a Mexican allowed. It's like, do we got to cook? We've been cooking more. And this is what we use.
Yeah.
And it's not, you can get all the stuff out. You can like, hey, we're having a night in cooking together, but it's not like, where's the paprika? Oh, we go run to Publix. It's all there for you.
It's super convenient.
That's what's best about it, baby. Makes saving time your breeziest resolution with a quick, convenient recipes delivered right to you, baby. Just choose your meals. We do the hearty, Southern meals.
Oh, yeah.
That's the one we chose. Yeah. Select your delivery date. HelloFresh handles the meal planning and shopping. So all you have to do is open your weekly box of pre-portioned ingredients and step-by-step recipes to get cooking. I also went in the thing and chose how many people are in the household.
Nice.
Me and Lenny don't live together, but I was like two. Because if you have six, they'll send you boxes for six.
Yeah, that's kind of a lot of boxes.
Well, it depends on how many meals you wanted. Yeah. This time of year, everyone's looking to revamp their eating habits. That is true. Look to HelloFresh as wholesome, healthy, forward options over 30 calorie smart and protein smart recipes each week. That's unbelievable. I like HelloFresh because you know what you're getting. Did your mom ever have to do that when you're like, what do you want to eat? And you're like, with the HelloFresh, we know what we got.
For sure.
And it's all there. And you don't have to go running around trying to find different things. Oh, shoot. We have the onions. We have the sauce. We don't have the noodles.
Yeah.
That's why I like HelloFresh. And you go, oh. It's game on when I get home from work. Go to HelloFresh.com/netpositivefree and use the code netpositivefree for free breakfast for life. What? One breakfast item per box while subscription is active. That's free breakfast for life at HelloFresh.com/netpositivefree with code net positive for you, or hit the link in the episode description below. HelloFresh, America's number one meal kit. Hot episode, buddy.
It is a hot episode.
Oh, we
this
just
is
finished.
A fun one.
It was fun. I feel like here's what I like. And even because when Sage came into studio, the cameras are obviously off, but she starts talking
immediately
and not like starts saying stuff. Like, I would say we've had guests in here that are like famous. I was like, and I've talked with the people that help get guests for us, my publicists and stuff. I was like, if they're not going to say anything, I don't want them.
Yeah.
I don't care who it is. I don't care if it's George Strait. I'm trying to think of, if it's LeBron, that's a better example. And he doesn't give us anything that couldn't get in an interview. I don't want them.
Yeah.
Like, are they going to come? Are they going to? That's why comedians are the best at podcasts, because they're loose. They do podcasts. And I was like, sometimes it's like this person's first interview and I go, dang it. And you can't really get anything out of them.
Yeah.
Sage came into the studio on 10.
Yeah, she was awesome.
Yeah. And we got into a lot of stuff. Obviously, Sage, I'm trying to think of the best way to set it up if you don't know her or her story. She worked for ESPN.
She was pretty much the face of ESPN
that's
in a way
for a long time.
17 years,
yep.
She said.
And then she kind of was honest about, I'm trying to think, you could look it up obviously, but she was honest about how she felt about the vaccine, and there was a couple gender issues and a couple race issues, I believe. I don't want to misquote her, but you could look all that up. And then she was kind of, I want to say silence, but maybe asked to leave. And then obviously they ended up reaching a settlement with ESPN, and now she's no longer employed there.
Yeah.
Is that a good synopsis?
I'd say so.
I want to do right by her as well, but she'll get into that. But we talked about covering sports, loving sports. I think those stories, some of those Steph Curry stories,
oh, yeah,
were awesome.
Yeah, I mean, we don't really talk about any of the things that John mentioned of like why she's not at ESPN isn't really the objective. Like, she was just super down to earth.
That's a good way to say it. I was like, I said before, I was like, this is not a cancel culture podcast, and I don't like when they're like, whoa, whoa. I was like, dude, I think she's a compelling story.
Yeah.
And a lot of the things that we talked about and a lot of the jokes we made, I had an unbelievable, somebody said to me, like, the longer the conversation goes, the more excited the host is about it, which is not necessarily true all the time. Some people are on time constraints, but I could have talked to Sage for another
two hours. Yeah.
Yeah. But then we're going to get some emails. This is too long.
No. Oh,
yeah. One time we had one under an hour and people got mad.
Really?
Yeah. They're like,
under an hour?
Yeah. It was like 57 minutes or something.
Wow.
Sage Steele. I hadn't met her before today, but a new friend of mine, new friend of Andrew's, and unbelievable talent. And you'll enjoy the episode. Here's Sage Steele. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, we're back. I got researched a intro for you.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, I got a good one.
I love
but
it.
I cherry picked all the things that are going to relate to people on this podcast.
Okay, good.
Are you ready?
Okay, yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have a distinguished guest with us this morning. Former host, SportsCenter, host of SportsCenter, on the road for the Super Bowl, the Masters. Seen on Mike and Mike, First Take, Sports Nation, hosted the NBA Finals from 2012 to 2020. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Drove the pace car at the Brickyard 400, which I've been through multiple times. Repeat host of Miss America.
That's a funny one.
2017 and 2019 with our guy Chris Harrison.
Yeah.
Four-time host of...
What?
Do you know?
What'd I do?
Four times. What did you host four times? Scripps National Spelling Bee.
Spelling Bee. That's the best one,
right? That's the best one. And guest host of The View. Ladies and gentlemen, Sage Steele is here, everybody. Let's go.
Thank you. I cannot believe you asked me to be here.
Oh, yeah.
This
why?
This is so cool.
Well, you know what? Will Kunkel, who's a friend of the show, he came down to the Titans Titans-Texans game.
Yep.
And he said he was friends with you. And I was like, I would love to talk to Sage Steele. Because me and Andrew were talking. You were like synonymous with would you say, Andrew, with SportsCenter for
150 years.
Yeah. SportsCenter growing up for me was
is that age you? Are you mad at that?
I'm used to it. Go ahead.
Dude.
Keep going.
But he's still a kid. Look at him. He's still a kid.
Yeah, I'm 26.
Oh, good Lord.
It was you and Stephen A. Smith and Max Kellerman were like my childhood.
Wow.
Those
ESPN.
Three.
I'm the only likable one.
Yeah. That, agreed.
That's his Mount Rushmore. You, okay. Stephen A. Smith, and Max.
No, but when
Max
you say
Cohen.
When I was a kid, no, thank you. Love you. Appreciate yeah. it. You're people like you're the reason why I have a job. But it does. As I'm like, I was there for almost 17 years. And people yeah, did kind of grow up on it, which is how yeah. I grew up too. So it's an honor.
Yeah. You grew up with it too.
Oh, totally. That's yeah. why it was my dream.
Well, I saw when I scroll back in your Instagram, I saw you posted a couple times about Stu Scott.
Yeah.
Gosh, dude.
That's my guy.
He's your guy.
It just hit 9 years since yeah. he died, and I still can't believe it. He was, I won't get all emotional on you at yeah, the beginning. Yeah.
Sorry,
maybe we'll
my
wait.
Bad. My bad to bring that up.
No, yeah. but he was, Stuart, I say this all the time whenever I'm asked because I want people to know that the heart he had.
Yeah.
Stuart believed in me before I believed in myself.
Oh,
Stuart
yeah,
had my back. Yeah, Stuart yeah. was like, girl, don't you put, and I was like, okay. You know, and he was the human besides yeah. like the, because the booyah to me was like, whatever.
That was like the flashy stuff that yeah. he was the underside of the pillow. That was like.
Totally.
He just did that
and
for
the. And
he's
brilliant, yeah. but the human.
Yeah.
Better.
Well, I was on, let me think. I came up in Denver and I, yeah. and I was with, I went to see Woody Page one time.
Okay.
I was just like.
Around the horn? Was he
yeah.
Doing,
yeah. And he goes, it was kind of sad because he goes, man, he goes, I've seen 30 Super Bowls. He goes, nothing gets me going. Mm-hmm. I don't, you know what I'm saying? Does everybody else get asked? Does everybody love sports there or
yes.
no?
Absolutely.
Everybody at ESPN or everywhere loves sports.
On air people?
Yeah.
Yes.
They're obsessed with sports.
Yes, because okay. I think you have to be or you'll be exposed.
Yeah.
Doesn't
yeah.
mean you know everything because that's impossible. I always yeah. say I had to know a little bit about a lot of things.
Yeah.
A couple of things I knew a lot about
yeah.
just because. Of my fandom and how I grew yeah. up, football, basketball, you know, especially football. So,
yeah.
but there's no way you can be an expert on all of them and know, you know, every head coach in the NHL.
There's
how many
no
people
way.
Can name that?
Yeah.
John Buchegrass can.
Yeah.
I can't. And you know what?
Oh, but,
I
yeah.
don't want to.
But like, sometimes they're on the, and they get exposed because
yeah.
they say, or like, that's not, like, I know about Atlanta.
Right.
Atlanta, Braves, Hawks, Falcons,
exactly.
Georgia Tech. That's who I'm, and if somebody's, speaking, you're like, you don't know who our tight end is. I can tell.
And then guess what?
Yeah,
my
yeah.
credibility in your eyes is gone and you're telling
oh,
everybody,
yeah, for sure.
like, oh, she is clueless. She sucks. That's
yeah,
that's what you do
it?
Because you're a fan. And so
oh, yeah.
you screw up one time. And that's the thing. It's like,
they know.
Okay, so we had to do all of it. I hosted a 2-hour sports center the last couple
oh, yeah.
of years live.
Yeah.
Noon Eastern, the
oh,
best
my.
With my guy, Matt Berry.
Yeah.
So you have stuff coming at you all the time. And if you misspeak on, you know, a Russian player's
yeah.
name on the ice,
yeah.
like the fans of the Washington Capitals who you screw will never trust you again. So
and,
it's
and they
super
and now they can tell you on Twitter.
Oh, they and they're very they're very clear.
I'm trying to think of an example. If you say if they say, hey, so and so coach, let's say the coach gets fired, they're looking for a defensive coordinator. Would you just kind of stay at 40,000 feet? Or would you say if someone said like Matt Berry wouldn't go, who are the coordinators that don't have jobs that are you? He wouldn't put you out like that because you don't know the
no.
answer.
Well, we
that's hilarious.
Well, we will go back and forth. And at the end of the day, you have to own it because I do believe. And this
yeah.
is why sometimes I wasn't always the perfect fit for SportsCenter because I like conversations.
Mm. Yeah.
And you don't have conversations on SportsCenter. You have
sure.
a quick interview.
Yeah.
You've Adam Schefter,
get
Tim Legler. You
yeah.
got to get in and out because there's still 65 other things to do. But I will genuinely, as the host,
yeah.
ask Adam on the fly because I know Adam's going to know
yeah.
or whichever analyst we have. It's be like, okay, wait, we now have 8 openings in the NFL, which I think that's where we are right now. I'm not
right.
sure.
Yeah,
8
yeah.
openings, you know, of those guys, which one do you think would be the best fit?
Yeah.
Off the top of your head, I can trust that you're going to be able to say that. And then
yeah,
vice
yeah.
versa,
yeah.
I should know they're 8. I should know the number. Like that's my job is
you
to
should
put
know,
it out
yeah.
there, you know?
But he goes, I don't know, is Bill Belichick, like you, if you, but whatever, when anybody off air get mad at another person
oh, yeah.
for like putting them out, you're like, dude,
yeah,
don't ask me that because I'm going to be exposed. That's too much.
Yeah, but at the end of the day, so I would never do that to a teammate, and
yeah.
you have to have some sensitivity. But if it's in a, if it's in a conversation, last year with the Aaron Rodgers stuff before
yeah.
he's getting ready to go to New York, and then you're putting all the pieces together, and then the
right.
offensive coordinator used to be his OC in Green Bay.
Yeah,
remember, and he came from Denver
mm-hmm.
after a disastrous
oh, yeah.
year there.
Yep.
And Nate Hackett.
Yeah.
And so you can put pieces of the puzzle together and
yeah.
guess and have a conversation because everybody's talking about that. If you can't go deep on that as a sportscaster,
oh, yeah.
get off the
you're
set.
You're done. Yeah, if you
like,
can,
get off.
Yeah.
yeah.
Well, it's he'd like get like let's say a guy like. What's the white guy that shoots the threes? It's all the he's retired.
That on a that's an analyst on ESPN.
Yeah.
Oh, Tim Legler.
No, white guy, small, just retired. Like two, he's the best 3-point shooter of all time.
Oh, JJ Redick.
JJ Redick.
Yeah, yeah.
So you get JJ Redick, this is just an example. Then he's talking about football. And you're like, wait. It's like an actor telling you about politics. You're like, wait, we trust what?
That's why I don't need to name names because you know sports fans know. Yeah. But when we're asking a football offensive lineman,
yeah,
pick any of them that we have on the set. See, I say we. It's no longer we.
Oh yeah.
About the NFL, about the NBA, or baseball. I'm out.
But it goes. Yeah, it goes. I guess you're just expected to know.
But like, no, you shouldn't be expected to know.
Barry Melrose knows about hockey. That's it.
Right.
He's coming on, he's talking about hockey.
Just because you're a basketball fan doesn't mean I should trust your opinion. And as the host, I would never ask a football guy about the NBA, unless it's like a joke.
Yeah,
did you see what LeBron did last night? Fine. But if it's like, what should the Lakers do?
Yeah.
Stop it. There's
How's their
no
coaching matchup with a running gun? You're like, dude, I have no idea.
Stop forcing it. I guess if you're
just in the airport walking through and you see it, you go, all right, J.J. Redick talking about the Pittsburgh Steelers.
J.J. Redick's super smart.
Now, I don't know why I'm saying his name. I love J.J.
He's actually one of the few that probably could.
He's look great. Up to J.J.
He's brilliant.
Redick. Yeah,
but the vast majority couldn't. And you know what? That's like asking me to go be a comedian.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not funny.
I was going to say the same. Yeah, we would know. No, you're funny.
I'm very funny.
But I couldn't.
Can confirm. Yeah. She's funny.
I couldn't do what you do. Are you kidding me?
Well, you got to have a traumatizing childhood.
Don't say that.
I'm just kidding. No, we joke about that all the time in here. Yeah.
Trauma. That's the hashtag word these days, right?
Oh, yeah. Everybody says it.
Trauma.
Well, it's interesting coming up in with SportsCenter, because we were talking before you came in here about when you first got invited to, like, whether it's ESPN, was there ever like a, you said Stu Scott believed in you.
Yeah.
Was there ever like a, I can't believe I'm here.
Oh, yeah.
When we go into bigger arenas that we've never been to before, you're like, do I have
what it takes?
Like, do I belong here?
Yeah.
Was there any of that?
Years.
Yeah, there was. Yeah,
I would have. For years after I got there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
At ESPN.
Yes. The first time I was on air was SportsCenter, the 6 p.m. Eastern SportsCenter, like prime time.
Yeah,
usually
what year?
You start like, you guys were like in diapers, okay?
No, hey.
No. Okay, how old were you in 2007 when I started?
Shoot.
I'm 39. 10. He's 20. I'm way 10. Older than him.
You were 10.
Yeah.
That's cute. That's great.
So they say, what do you get? Do you get it on an email? Do you get your time card? How does it work? You go, oh, man, I'm doing the 6 p.m. When does that?
Well, somebody called in sick. And it was like, still. She's there. And I knew I wasn't ready. Oh my gosh.
No, you're ready.
No, I was not ready. There's proof in the video. I was not ready. But what do? You say no?
2006?
Seven.
2007.
So you don't say no.
Are you working towards that though? Is that like the goal? Or was that just kind of like, whoa, I'm not expecting to be doing SportsCenter.
That was the goal. Like, that's why I was hired.
Yeah.
But they usually give you like a month to get ready and kind of do some training. Remember ESPN News? And they'd put you on
you
that
like
where no one
just,
watched.
You had
don't
just
say,
started.
Remember, don't patronize us like this. Like, we're no ESPN News.
Well, it's not like a thing as much anymore.
Like, yeah. Oh, yeah. That's like the minor leagues.
Yeah.
That's the minor leagues that you check there first to see if you're.
Yeah. To get you warmed up, because the pressure is immense. And if you.
I take it a tour.
It's an incredible camp. It's like
it's
a college campus.
Yeah.
Basically.
It's huge. Yeah. I've seen that room where they do SportsCenter. Yeah.
Well, and when was that?
I mean, I went in 2017.
Okay, it changed in 17. So there was was it brand new or was it the older?
I think it was brand new.
So Stuart was the one. It started in 14, I think, or 15.
Yeah.
Stuart was the one that kind of christened it. They had him do the first show there on purpose. You walk in there and it's like, it's mad. Now, I will say, it never got old to me. I never took it for granted. Every day I walked in,
I love that.
It was like that adrenaline rush. I wouldn't be nervous, but I had like healthy butterflies. Is that
nervous?
We're
here. Yeah, we're here.
Let's go.
Like walking out of the tunnel.
Totally.
Like, yeah.
And
like a respect for it. Yeah.
Absolutely. And I literally loved my job till the very last day.
Yeah.
Like no matter what drama was going on,
yeah,
I could compartmentalize pretty well, put it behind me and go. And by the way, if you don't, you're not going to have a job with what you do too. Everybody's got stuff going on. You got to put it behind you because it's a performance almost.
Somebody said, who was it? Another comedian. She was on a podcast and she goes, I don't get to have an off day.
No.
Like if you, no disrespect, but if you work at McDonald's, your boyfriend broke up with you, you can kind of take that into being the cashier. You're like, whatever.
Yeah.
You're like,
yeah.
We can, I whatever's going on, go out for an hour plus and just do the thing.
You have to. And you know what? You owe it. We owed it to those people, the people who paid to come see you, the viewers who are paying to watch us, you know, cable. If you have cable, ESPN, you got to pay. And listen, there were so many times. And when I started there, my kids were 11 months old, 2 and 4.
Oh, good timing.
So I was like, I don't remember.
Let's move to Bristol, kids.
Right? I know. Yeah. They've been talking about trauma ever since Bristol, Connecticut. I got it. Shoot. Capital letters. But I was this young mom. Like I had these kids all in less than 4 years, all of them. Go, moving to the national level for the job that I dreamt of since I was at 11 years old when I told my parents I wanted to be a sportscaster. And so then it's like, go, intense. Oh gosh, I got here. I'm scared to death. I suck. Like, what am I going to do? I have to keep pushing through. And then I went through a lot of things. I went through a divorce. I went through obviously like some legal drama led to my departure. And throughout it all, even though like, okay, I was hurting for a lot of it, especially of course, with the personal stuff, you still have to perform. And it was actually, I don't know if you feel this way, it was actually like an escape.
100%.
And I loved it. So I'm so grateful.
Yeah.
You know?
Where you could have, I worked at like a sports marketing company in like 2012 or something. And this girl from my church broke up with me. I'm not comparing my situation to yours.
No.
But I loved going to work. Because I was like, that's the only place that I could just do the other stuff.
Right. And otherwise, you walk around your house.
That's hilarious.
And your mind is on it constantly. You're going crazy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Andrew, would it ever occur to you if Scott Van Pelt was not having a good day? I would never even, that's how professional that y'all are. Because I wouldn't even consider that they had personal lives. I mean, obviously they do, but I wouldn't. I would never even think of that.
But I think we should all take pride in that.
Should.
And I do look back on all those times. And most importantly, forget about the drama or the personal stuff. Like just when I was scared because I didn't have the confidence to do it every day, I had to learn to fake it. And I learned a couple ways just smiling.
Yeah.
And I've always I've always smiled probably at the wrong times, you know, inappropriate times, you know, when I was younger or old now. But also, I found that the way you project, like from here, that your voice sounds deeper and stronger. And I don't have the best like TV voice. So that would make it come out stronger, which I don't know, some subconsciously gave me more confidence feel like I was where I was supposed to be, even though deep down, every single thing I said to get in a commercial break, I was like, oh gosh.
Shoot.
Did I screw that up? Yeah. Have I gotten an email from the boss pulling me off the set and firing me yet?
On set. Hey, you're gone. Yeah. The people that are most, like you guys got in the studio, the teleprompter, and you kind of, the sideline reporting, have you ever done that?
Yeah.
The sideline reporting is, I mean, I guess it's under a lot of fire now, or like the sideline reporting is crazy, and especially in the now it's in the NBA, during timeouts. And
I hate those coach interviews at the end of a quarter.
They don't give you anything.
They don't give you anything. It's useless, and they hate it.
Of course they do.
So I always am like,
do they hate it in football?
Yeah, everybody hates it. I'll say this,
you got to go find them.
You got to run them down, and
they have to do it for you or no?
Yeah, it's part of the broadcast contracts with the networks and the leagues. Yeah. They have to. I know how much the NBA coaches, because it's one thing halftime. It's another thing like at the end of every quarter.
While they're playing.
Yes, it's terrible, and I had to do it enough to know I didn't want to do that. The funny thing is in studio. Yes, there's teleprompter to get us to certain things because it's so highly produced. Like the directors need to know what word that we're going to say to roll the tape. But on my show with Matt Berry at Noon Eastern, we winged all of it.
Which
is no longer.
Yeah, you just did it.
We winged it because to me, I couldn't stay scripted. It's sports.
Yeah.
We're not talking about politics or wars, which, you know, facts are always correct, even in sports. But like, I want to make it conversational. The sports. My producers would hate me because I wouldn't follow a script, but I was like, wait, he just said something here that if I don't follow up, I'm not doing my job. So it's scripted, but it's not. And then the teleprompter is annoying.
Yeah, teleprompter.
It's definitely a skill set that you have to do. And you can tell when politicians try and it's like, please stop.
Yeah.
Do you know what's going to be on the teleprompter? Like, do you get prepped for what you're going to be talking about?
We write it.
Oh, you write it?
I wrote my own stuff.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And if there's like breaking news, what percentage of the time is there breaking news where like all of a sudden someone's in your ear like...
Oh, all the time. Really? Especially on that show. Oh, for some reason, cool. We had it all the time. Constantly. Yeah. And then there's nothing in the prompter. And then you might get a printout if a research kid can get the printer to work and run it out to you real
Don't
quick.
Don't call them a kid.
They're all children, okay? God love them. Because compared
they're like
to
Andrew.
Me, yeah. Well, kind of.
Yeah. I'll
take that. No, but that's why for a long time they didn't want us to have our cell phone on set. And then it's like, I needed that because it was like Twitter,
they all got
Google.
Them now. Sure.
And so I would literally, and I'd go to our resources to make sure that it was approved from our people. But like, so I would go live, nothing in the prompter, based on what I just read on Twitter, what the producers, the editors are telling us. And then you have to just look in that camera
and do it
and go. And so it's still, like I said, the nerves were legit because I mean, all eyes are on you. And even if it's not your fault, right? Even if, okay, the producer gave you the wrong info.
Totally.
Someone over here, there's someone on the camera that tripped and fell and you're like trying not to laugh while you're talking about someone who died on camera.
Yeah.
Like it is, even if it's not your fault, if you screwed up, it's your fault. So like pressure.
It's the same with my show. It's like totally. if like the popcorn is like burnt that they're, it's my fault.
It's totally your fault.
My name's on the marquee.
You're popping the popcorn,
yeah,
by the way.
Apparently.
While you're on stage at the same time.
Is the, Marty Smith is another good buddy of ours.
Oh, I love Marty.
Another,
by the way,
cup guy.
I want you to think about what Marty did. He was all what? He was all NASCAR.
All NASCAR.
And he's got his drawl and his frohawk and all the things, which love Marty Smith. Marty Smith, during all the layoffs over the last 10 years, made himself so valuable in other places.
Yeah.
And look at him in college football.
Oh, good point.
Look at him with golf.
With
look at him everywhere.
Yeah.
He was synonymous just with NASCAR, though.
Yeah. And he was for as long as if he said he grew up with you on NBA Countdown, I grew up with Marty Smith on Daytona.
But not everybody can make that transition to being a jack of all trades.
Yeah.
And very few people have that talent.
Well, I was going to ask you, and there's a lot of, so with the, let's say the people that have gone over that are on Fox or they're on somewhere else. So if you come in, you are prior to that, nobody knows you. You have no facial recognition. You know, nobody knows you on the street, right?
Right.
Then
I mean, I was in DC. I'd gone up through.
Oh, sorry. That was disrespectful. You're John,
true.
People knew me.
And like,
my bad.
In like two cities, right?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
But local, regional, because it took 11 years to get to ESPN.
Yeah.
But on a national level, it's like, who's that?
Yeah. Me and Andrew didn't know you until 2012?
I don't know. You tell me.
2000. When did you start?
2007.
So we probably, when does, I mean.
Probably 2007. Well, I would have
been
10.
But no, 12 is when I started doing NBA full time.
But we knew of you before. So what I'm saying is, these people that come up and now, like, what's the light skinned guy that's on Fox now? Chris Broussard.
Yeah.
So these people make like personal capital. So now we know of him. Now we know of you. So
because
is there.
Of ESPN,
yeah. Or now we know all the people that are like, oh, I recognize that guy. I recognize that guy.
Yeah.
So he didn't come from nothing, but you come and now people know you or of you. So that is now worth something.
Yeah.
My face. Oh, that's the guy from, I saw that guy or the TikTok or the whatever, that my face is now worth something. So when you, is there like any kind of like, you know, who's like calling the shots over there? If you now you've come with zero power and now you kind of have a little bit of, well, Sage told me, or that's how they want to run their show. Or is it everybody? We tell you what's going on. Does
at
that
ESPN?
Make sense? Is that a fair question
at
or no?
ESPN?
Yeah.
You mean, so then you build up and then you have a little credibility.
Yeah. Like Scott Van Pelt or Stephen
A.
You'd be like, he's like, I'm not doing that. Well, one of the kids can't say I'm not doing that,
right.
But one of them can. And
you
kind of see if you're expendable or not, I guess.
Very much so. And very quickly.
That was a bad, I did phrase that question wrong.
No,
but
it's true because you come in and you're, it's like, well, who's that? And where are they from? And you know,
yeah.
And then it's okay. Do they last? Because there's a lot of people that have been in and out.
Yeah.
And then there's been a lot of layoffs, unfortunately.
Yep.
And then do you survive that, which isn't always fair. Sometimes it's political. Sometimes, you know, it depends who likes you. Listen, as you know, it's a very subjective industry.
Yeah.
And even if you are technically incredible at doing highlights, hosting shows, being live, all the things. Does the right boss like you at the right time? You know? And that's hard because, you know, it's just, there's no right or wrong way. It's the way that they believe it should be. So yep. for certainly for the last probably 8 years of my time there, I had a voice.
Yeah.
And I would really, I think, I don't think I realized it at the time.
Yeah.
Towards the end, I certainly did. But when I'd say the last 6 years, I really knew. And I just tried to, there's so many young women and men who had come in there who were scared like I was when you come. And then I didn't think many of them were being used properly because they weren't being set up to succeed. And I had a boss when I first started, when I crashed and burned, he came up to me after my first show and he apologized and said, "We set you up to fail and I'm sorry." Wow. And it was true. But the fact that he owned that, now he's the only one, that literally saved me. And so I just remember, and it took me 2 years to get my confidence back to say, okay, I think I belong here. I think. So I used those last, I'd say 6-7 years to try to be that person for other people who came in scared, especially young women, because it's still a man's world. And that's a man's network still. Now, they've changed in many ways and there's a lot more women doing things, but I just didn't want anyone else to feel that way. So if I had a voice and if I had the ear of the executives, which I did for a long time, then I would at least say, okay, you see Laura Rutledge over here?
Yeah.
You see Tony Collins? You see some of these people?
Right.
They're rock stars. Like, I don't know, reward them for their hard work and their talent and how they treat the nobodies. How do you treat the people behind the scenes?
Right.
Because there's a lot of stars that you all watch every day there that treat the staff poorly. And that breaks my heart. So I always tried to speak well about the people that I knew were good to others, you know?
Well, I'm friends with, not friends, but we've chatted a little bit with David Pollack.
Love.
Who, you go... It's tricky because you're not what I would imagine a very skilled, very knowledgeable, at least in his area. And they say, "Hey, we don't need you anymore." Is a tough. It's
that
a tough,
one hurt me.
Yeah, it's a tough blow to receive, and
your ego.
And you try to and there's a lot of obviously ego involved in being on television and sports. Yeah. I would imagine, but same with the players when you go, "Hey."
It's business.
We're going to have to cut you. Yeah.
Yeah. That one hurt me with David. I thought he was so good. Why? In my mind, because he was conversational.
But it's just between us. Very attractive man.
David Pollack?
Very attractive
Beautiful man.
David, beautiful man. Say that. I can go on record and say David Pollack, attractive.
He cared, and he almost died, right?
Yeah.
With what happened to him when he was with the Bengals.
Yeah.
But how he treats his body, his mind, he's so healthy and he's crazy. He doesn't eat sugar. I'm like, that's annoying, David.
Okay, chill, David.
Come on. I will
is
eat that sugar
key?
For you.
Is that what we need to do?
Apparently, I have fail at that every day. I have the biggest sweet tooth. But David, he's guy's guy. And half the time he'd be like, "I haven't showered in a couple of days." I was like, "David, take a shower.
Come on.
Please, David." But his wife is beautiful. His kids are lovely.
Yeah.
He's just a wholesome guy. And I hated to see that because I think he was really good for that College Game Day group because of his personality. And he's kind of quirky. Yeah. He's not all perfect. But they brought McAfee. And now that's a whole
they
different
did. Vibe. Yeah. Well, it's interesting because with Pat, that it's tenuous from the beginning because they were like on the bottom. They were like, "Hey, we don't represent ESPN. We're going to say some wild stuff." And it's like a very it's like from day one, it's like, all right, sure. But listen, Pat McAfee, for as big as he was, is now infinitely bigger.
Yes.
Infinitely bigger.
Well, he's also... the reaction when they hired him was
I remember.
Mixed,
because
sure.
He had to explain it to his people because he was like, "I'm the man's man. I'm the sports guy. You can trust me. We just have a podcast and it's me and y'all." And now obviously when there's other
corporate,
it
gets corporate and there have been some changes. But he's had an interesting few weeks and Pat just says it like it is.
Yeah.
And when he called out one boss in particular who we've all dealt with.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then doubled and tripled down on it and called him a rat. We were all, the text chains, it was like,
oh.
Because if you think about it, I don't care, sports, news, that has really never happened. Where someone goes on live TV, and it was on the ESPN platform when you did it, and call out by name your boss and start calling him names on live TV, on the network that's paying you.
Wild.
Yeah, that's like, crazy.
No, this never happened. And they kept going with it. And then he posted a picture with that guy that he ripped on his boss like 2 days later. It was just so savage. And I was laughing. Now, now the other side of it is that, wait, so there's some people who you punish when they say something that has nothing to do with the network or sports even. Yeah, like, hi. And then you punish them and take them. And then he can say that and rip on bosses on your air. So I think that's one of the things with the ESPN, as much as people agreed with what Pat said, many of us, it's also still...
I don't think people, fans, a general fan wouldn't know who that person is, but all y'all were like,
but it was the
y'all premise. Y'all were all texting each other?
There's a lot of texts going back and forth.
I'm sure.
But it's the premise of like the cojones that it takes to do that, whether you know who that boss is or not. But I think that if you look at it, that's kind of why ESPN's gone awry, because they're so inconsistent with what they allow. And listen, 5 years, 85 million. Pat McAfee knows he's got the power.
Right.
And they need him more than he needs them.
That's the thing.
And Pat's super smart. I love McAfee.
Yeah.
I hosted the Colts kickoff luncheon probably like 8 or 10 years ago. My first sports job was in Indianapolis, and I was always a Colts person because of that. And so I saw Pat was on the stage that day for the kickoff luncheon, and I'd never met him. And he would, I mean, he was hysterical and he was crazy. And I was like, you need your own TV show.
Oh,
and he was
like, wild.
He's like, hell no, I don't want to be part of you media. And now the other day I texted him and I was like, look,
so, dude,
but I ESPN jacket looks nice. I respect him for doing it his way, even though he has had to compromise because it's still Disney.
Yeah.
And he's not doing
it.
Yeah. We know.
Everybody's
that.
Well, so like you look at, we've talked about this before on the podcast. Who's the guy? So like Matt Lauer.
Yeah.
So he gets canceled but he doesn't have Instagram followers, or he his only voice is through CBS.
Through the Today Show. NBC.
So if we take it from you, but like, look at Joe Rogan. Mm-hmm. If Spotify goes, we're going to take your deal. He goes, okay.
I'll go somewhere else.
And Pat. And I think anybody who now is like, getting quote canceled, if they have their own, what, like Chris Harrison, unfortunately was via The Bachelorette, and when you take that, you kind of take him.
You do.
Is that, you agree with that or no?
I do in some ways. I think it depends on your job and your role. And Chris was at the beginning, and Miss America. We did
Who's the guy that interviewed Trump on the bus, and then he got canceled, and then we never heard from
Billy
him again?
Bush.
Yeah, they were like,
now he's back. He's reemerged.
I don't know why I brought that up. Sorry, but you were saying
And it's true. That was a different time,
Time.
That was like 2016, I guess.
Yeah. It was a scary time back then.
And it's still, to me, it's so scary now because that cancellation stuff. But if you look at Matt Lauer, he was known just as a journalist. And a news anchor and a news host.
Yeah.
And then when he already had so much money that it didn't matter, he could go away, right?
Yeah.
So it's different. Pat was already kind of an entertainer. So he could be like, you know what, ESPN, stop. I'm out. I'm good. I'm going to go somewhere else, because he knows he'll always land. Yeah. Rogan, same thing. So I think there's a difference between a journalist
and an
entertainer.
That's a good point.
And then and now Chris Harrison has his own podcast with his wife, Lauren. I was at the wedding. Coolest. I've never been to a cowboy themed wedding.
Oh, yeah. You're getting into Nashville culture.
Listen, I'm thinking about moving to, Florida will be my full time in a couple of months, but no more Connecticut, but Austin or Nashville. And I know a lot of people, Chris, and everybody's in Austin.
You need to come here.
But I feel like Nashville isn't as weird as Austin, right?
Nah, Nashville's a little bit more commercial.
Okay.
But we're in country music, so you're going to have to... Who in country music do you like?
A lot of people in
country. Let's see it. No, what artists do you like?
Top three.
What?
Top three artists.
She's going to say, let me guess.
Okay, yeah, you can guess.
Morgan Wallen.
Of course.
You like Morgan.
Obviously.
Luke Combs.
Yes. I mean,
you're in, you're fine.
I like that whole vibe. I also like, I'm looking at him right now. The biracial kid.
Kane Brown.
But he's in North Carolina.
He's not a kid also.
They're all kids.
Everybody who's like below 35 is a kid.
They're all
kids.
Yeah,
I guess Kane Brown.
But just he's different. I respect that. And then I've gotten to hang out with Chase Rice a little bit because of our mutual friends. And he's a NASCAR guy. And he played football. Yeah. He's a sports guy.
Oh, we've seen him out of the races. Yeah, Chase Rice.
But he's a sports guy, right? He's a former athlete.
Oh, yeah.
So I like
former
that.
Athlete.
He is.
Chase Rice.
D1
Let's
top
see,
football.
Sam Hunt. He's really? A former athlete. He played basketball.
Chase Rice played at North Carolina.
Huh.
Football.
Did he?
Yes. Oh, D1.
Wow.
Hello. Yeah, look at me educating that. You. Come on. Yeah. No. See, that's how I knew him. It's because of sports first.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, listen, all the kind of the typical, the Carrie Underwood, you know, I just have an appreciation for country music because you can actually understand what they're saying, understand the lyrics.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't know, as I've gotten older, that matters more. Now, that doesn't mean I still don't love my 90s hip hop.
Yeah, everybody's.
So wait, you're debating between Fort Lauderdale is going to be home.
That's definitely, that's going to be, I already
have
a place there.
You don't want to go to Austin.
Or Austin or Nashville.
My number two, as far as like a second home, hopefully, is Austin or Nashville.
For sure Nashville.
I feel like it. For sure. Austin got like,
weird.
Extra dirty.
Yeah.
I think all the California people.
They're closer to the West Coast.
Yeah. So. All those California people came and they're ruining it.
Yeah.
Everybody here is just like, they're all coming here too.
Good old boys from the Midwest.
Yeah.
The thing about here
is there's a lot of TV people. There's a lot of people in this industry here.
You can have, I would say you can have like a guest-driven podcast in New York, LA, and Nashville.
Oh.
Because it now they have like Rogan and Tom Segura and all them have podcasts in Austin, but they got to fly in their guests.
But they don't even fly them in.
What do you mean? They don't pay them?
I don't think they even pay that. They just come to them.
Oh, they just go. Oh, because their podcast is big enough. Yeah.
Rogan, they come to him.
If Rogan asked me and I was like, how much is the flight? He'd be like, never mind.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll be like, I'll be there. Yeah.
Yeah. Like you can find a way there.
Here, there's enough. There's with between sports and country music, and there's plenty of people plenty of celebrities through. Around
so
here.
So many. No, you're right. But yeah. I think I met Tom here.
Oh yeah, Segura.
Was that the NASCAR race? Here,
oh yeah,
or was Segura. It, maybe it was in Austin.
Yeah, they went to that Austin race.
That's what it was.
Bert. And Bert.
Because I gave the invocation at the Austin race. It was one of the scariest things I've ever done.
You with the prayer?
A prayer that I wrote. No, but it's one thing. Okay, listen.
You can't write a prayer. It's pray to the
NASCAR
Lord.
NASCAR races?
Hello, listen.
Oh, yeah, they prayed.
You had to have it.
You know.
That's crazy.
Wait, what? Do you not?
I didn't know that they prayed before a NASCAR race.
Well, then
race.
You haven't been to a race, apparently.
Yeah, I haven't.
Look at you trying to interrogate her on country, and he's asking if they pray before a NASCAR race.
That's like
race.
One of the few places. Here's the thing. It had to be exactly 30. It's live on Fox.
Oh, yeah.
It had to be exactly 30 seconds. So I had to write it out. Now, here's the key. I didn't bring it with me. Up on stage.
Off the dome.
That was here.
Oh, yeah.
It was literally one of the scariest things I've ever done. Yeah. Because I'm not big. I mean, 100,000 people in front of you. You're on live national TV. That's scary.
That's pretty big.
But it was more because I've always prayed privately.
You don't write out your prayers privately?
Quite. No, but like I grew up Catholic and I still practice. And it's very, you know, they're not like, you know, Baptist and out there.
Oh, yeah.
So to me, it's super private. So to say it out loud in front of millions of people.
Yeah.
Was really scary, but I nailed it.
Lord, we welcome you. Do you do a Catholic thing or no? Don't they sing their prayers? they sing the prayers. Oh, they're not all of them.
Not all
Any though. Catholic is in now in the comments like, John, that was very disrespectful.
Yeah. No, listen.
Mm-hmm.
We they do and it. I kind of like it, but I also am not like set on everything in Catholicism, right?
Yeah.
And now it's spirituality too. It's a whole bunch.
I'm spiritual. I'm not Christian. I'm spiritual.
Buzzword.
Yeah. I'm spiritual.
I think that would be the biggest, that would be the biggest crowd I've ever performed in front of too, would be I think I did the driver intros at Dallas.
That was scary.
There's like, so many people.
Wait, you just, what
I didn't perform comedy. I just did the driver intros.
It was
on the 36
voice.
Car for the Penske team. Chase Elliott or whatever.
Were you nervous?
No, yeah, it was terrifying.
Exactly.
Terrified.
Right.
And the girl's sitting there going, because the TV.
Next.
Yeah, and you can't just go do whatever you want. Yeah, yeah.
They're on headsets terrified. With the network.
Oh,
but,
yeah.
So that would be super hard because that's like, you have to get into it.
Oh, yeah.
That's personality.
Oh, yeah.
They would never ask me for that. Like, that's you all the
way. Do you mean they wouldn't ask you?
No, because I don't.
Oh, you're just
I couldn't do the like, Chase.
Jeez, I was hyped.
What was the best the one you did?
Let's see. Corey LaJoy. Brad Keselowski is a good buddy to mine.
Yeah. Brad.
But I like the NASCAR, the fans always let you know who they like and don't like.
Oh,
they cheer
they don't
and
hold
boo.
Back.
Yeah.
The boos are legit.
They're the best.
Do you know, can I give you my best NASCAR story ever? 1995. Wait, you haven't been to a race.
Look at him,
like
dude.
Acting like you like NASCAR.
He's gonna
I'm not acting like I like NASCAR. I'm a huge Formula One fan, which means I feel like I kind of have to be a little bit anti-NASCAR, but I'm excited to hear this story about guys going really fast in a circle.
Okay, I have a Formula One question too then, because that, that.
I don't know anything about Formula One.
Okay.
I think it's fake.
Formula One?
I just think it's fake.
No, I think your love for it is fake.
Oh,
okay. What, dude? Dude, just,
hold on.
Nice to meet you, by the way.
No, I'm not buying it. He leaves the room.
My best NASCAR story, 1995. Once again, aging myself. I just graduated from Indiana.
Oh, yeah.
So I was an intern at the CBS affiliate there in Indianapolis before I ended up getting a job there a couple years later. And they're like, go, we need, and it's May, right? Month of May. So you're.
At Brickyard?
I'm sorry. No, May. I'd been there for May. This is obviously August. But I think they're for practice.
Okay.
And they're like, here, get some sound. And Dale's here. Of course, everybody, Dale Sr.
Dale's here.
And so
Dale Earnhardt is a driver. He knows who that is. Yeah, he knows who that is.
Okay, good. He's one of the few that I knew at that time because I hadn't grown up around NASCAR at all. But when you live in Indiana, and it was like, oh, you better. So they just asked me to get a quick interview with him. And I was knowledgeable enough to know that I should be nervous because of who he is, the legend, right? And I went up to him and he was on the way. He was like done. And I was like, hi, can I ask you a couple of questions? And he looked at me. He's like, come here. And had me come onto his RV with, you know, crew chief, a couple of guys were there. And because I said, like, he could tell I was really nervous.
Oh, yeah.
And so he saw something. I mean, he was so kind to me. Put his arm around me. He's like, come on in, ask me anything. And I was like, what? So we sat down in his RV. And this is my first ever NASCAR interview. And I admitted to him, I go, listen, I'm trying to learn about the sport. I don't know much. And I think by admitting that, he was like, I'm going to help you.
Good for you.
Sit down. And by the way, there weren't many women doing that in 1995. Mm. Certainly women who looked like me doing that in 1995 at a NASCAR race.
Yeah.
That's not happening.
What if people are just listening to this on audio? They don't know what you're saying.
Oh, hi. Okay. I'm Mocha. Mocha.
Okay, gotcha.
Is that a good description?
Yeah, yeah.
Perfect.
There was not a lot of black women in NASCAR. I don't think there's many now, but...
No, there's not. Now, the crews look totally different.
Yeah, the crews.
Those are all, you know, I think it's awesome how they go to the NFL Combine and recruit football players, D1 football players now to be on the crews. And that's why the times are faster than ever. Yep. Anyway, it was just so cool that my very first interview is Dale Earnhardt Sr., like the man. Sweet. And he was so kind and let me ask stupid questions so I could go out and pretend like I knew what I was talking about later. So I fell in love with the sport at that moment because they were all the drivers. We're so welcoming to this clueless kid who was the only black person really ever in the pits. It was fun. That's I fell in love then.
I always like to. I mean, I don't know a ton of celebrities, but from who I know, when people say, "Is he really like that?" and I get to go, "Yeah, he's just like how you think. He's the most kind, great. Like I bet that guy's cool." You go, "Yeah." He's like that. When you go,
Dale was like that. Yeah.
That's awesome. But there's some people that aren't. That you go.
Are you honest?
No, no, not to. If they're not, I just go.
If I had a glass of wine in me, I'd be like,
"Yeah, tell everybody."
The truth.
Yeah,
Have a seat.
Well, I would like to be when people meet me. I would like to be who.
Yeah.
I don't feel like I'm putting on a front when I'm on stage or I'm making my videos or something.
Totally.
But I've had been some times when I've been in dark places in life and been depressed, and they probably meet me at the airport and you go, he's probably not doing well. But it's nice it's when you hear the stories about never meet your idols, right?
And there's a couple I wish I hadn't met. Like it's that whole thing.
Well, if they're like on halftime in the game that they're playing,
never. It was in a chill environment. I was heartbroken.
Oh, yeah.
One man, athlete, and one woman who is in the industry who I worked with.
And it's so sad.
I was heartbroken.
God.
I still get mad. And that's why when I mentioned earlier about trying to speak highly about people who are real, who are kind to the teleprompter kid, the janitor, whoever. I think that that's, you know, as you look back and I'm, you know, starting like a chapter two of my career and starting over, which is kind of cool, but you
You're
can look back
over,
on.
But
true. Yeah, thank you.
Not even close.
True.
Yeah.
But differently. Yeah. But when you can look back, and I know that, and I say this to my kids because my kids are now, like I said, two in college, one on the way.
Yeah.
And, you know, about being good humans. And I'm like,
not one on the way. You're not pregnant.
Kindness. Oh my gosh, that's impossible.
He said two in college, one on the way.
Yeah,
on the one way to college.
Oh, one on the way to college. Oh, I was like, yo. I was like,
breaking news.
This is where she comes announce.
No, you're this like, would be the immaculate conception.
Two in college, one on the way to college. Okay, got it.
Impossible in many ways right now, John Chris.
Hey.
Thank you.
He said two in college, one on the way. On the way to college.
Let me rephrase.
Okay.
She's a senior in high school.
Yeah.
And as of August this year,
she's going to college.
2024, I'm an empty nester completely. And then that's why I'm going to go do like an Eat, Pray, Love tour and like just go travel the world by myself. I don't know.
Yeah, you can document it.
Move to Nashville.
I'm going to. Move to Nashville. Yes. On some land.
Yeah.
I do like to fish. Like I would want like a little.
Well,
little,
like I love her, pond. But I love to fish. I can't. Let me see if I can picture in my mind stage steel fishing. No, I can't.
Why would that be?
What type of fishing?
You're stereotyping.
No, I'm not. I'm just saying I don't see you as a fisherman. Fisherwoman.
Fisher person. Yeah. I am offended. Fisher person.
Wait, I was going to ask if.
I have a question about you guys were talking about people being like they are.
Yeah.
On air or whatever. Is Stephen A. Smith as
he has to, dude.
I have to. Is he as like high strung in real life?
No.
Because I mean he is like so over the top on air.
You think?
Yeah. I mean I know that it's like part of a character.
Yes.
Yeah. But is he like the polar opposite in real life? Or what's he like in real life?
My experiences with Stephen A, which are almost all pre-pandemic now. Because then they moved the show down to New York and I was still in Bristol, Connecticut. And so I haven't seen him in a few years, sadly. But my experiences with him were more personal and more on the human level, you know? And so, no, he wasn't like shucking and jiving and talking like that. That's not how he was.
I am offended. Yeah.
Stop.
Like I don't know.
You stop.
No, yeah, I got
Stephen A.
Yeah.
Like to me, I always roll
this
my
is
eyes.
Preposterous.
Right. Yeah. Two things. Number one, I roll my eyes because I'm like, that's not you.
Okay.
And I think he has four or five sisters. He was the only boy. His, you know, wonderful parents. I mean, he was like, this is probably why he has this character because he was nothing with all those sisters. Right.
Oh yeah. Now he's the king of the hill.
Now he's king of the hill. Right. But he's got a great heart. Yeah, he's a great dad. He's semi-normal in that way.
Credit
now, when
credit
he, you know, when
due.
He talks about how my daughter wanted to go see Taylor Swift and I took her six friends, I spent $25,000 on Taylor Swift. That's when I'm like, you're not normal. For number one, doing that. Number two, admitting it publicly. I wouldn't admit
that's
that.
Crazy, dude. Yeah.
But like, I respect the game too because he saw the opportunity. He has pounced and that persona has made him a multi-millionaire.
Yep.
And he's a really hard worker. Now, he and I disagree about a lot of things. I have a few bones to pick with him at some point soon, I hope. Mm. Because like, let's be, if you're going to call people out on stuff and, you know, well then like, let's be honest about it. And if you really want to call him out, you can have him on your show and you can discuss things, but he doesn't want to do that. And that's fine. It's his choice and that he's a powerful guy. Nobody works harder than Stephen A. Even if I don't agree with everything or respect the way he does some things for the most part, he is so talented. And you know what? He talks about being humbled. He was let go by ESPN. After I got there, I want to say 2009 or something, they let him go because he wasn't bringing it. And he left and worked hard and came back and is now, who's bigger than Stephen A. Smith in sports media?
No one.
Pat McAfee's right up there all of a sudden.
Stephen A.
But Stephen A's that guy and he's earned it.
Kurt Herbstreit.
Yeah, that's
different.
Pretty cool.
That's different. Yeah, it's a different area.
And you're not hearing Kirk Herbstreit go off about NBA?
No.
Or much else besides
He lives here
football.
In town too. He lives in Nashville.
Yeah, I know. I love Kirk. He's a brilliant guy and he's done it his way for 30 years.
But we think with Stephen A, I think any comic, let's say like you got like Louis C.K. and the guy that does like, what's his name? Jeff Dunham that does like the puppets.
Oh,
these are polar opposite.
Yeah.
But they kind of just like, they go, it's not for me, but I respect it.
Yeah.
Like that's what you're saying about like any comic that's also successful is never going to attract. He's like, he's created this persona where everybody knows kind of they want to hear what Stephen A. And you go, good for him. Because you know what it's like, Who's the white guy that does the same type of thing on Fox?
Oh, Skip Bayless.
Yeah, you go, I'm guessing that on the commercial break, like, hey, what side are you going to take on Cowboys? I'll take the other side. Do they do that or no?
So first of all, remember, Skip started at ESPN.
Yeah.
Skip and Stephen A were doing First Take.
Oh, yeah. Dude.
And when I was doing updates on the show, Skip and Stephen A were doing that. Stephen A was not this Stephen A back then.
He wasn't the Stephen A we know.
Right, right. And Skip is a brilliant guy.
Yep.
I love Skip. People kill and crush Skip. I remember, I mean, we were very close. He was very helpful to me in many ways. And one time I invited him over for dinner at the kids, and he never had kids and he doesn't like kids. And and then he's like, no, I can't. I have to watch the women's regional quarterfinal softball. Yeah. Like, he watches he did everything. Yeah. And when he says stuff, even if you think he's just making it up and trying to like get clicks, he believes everything he says. Skip Bayless does. I think Stephen A does for the most part. They don't sit there and script at all. Like, you kind of, I think they, from my experience in the past, they knew which direction the other was going to go, but didn't know the argument around it. So those reactions are genuine. Now Skip, you know, he blew out Max Kellerman. He chose Max and then blew Max out.
Oh yeah, he did.
And then
what did he do? He got rid of him? Or they just get, I mean, that's like for real hate.
Yeah,
I think they go, oh, they're not joking.
No.
Yeah.
I mean, I said to Stephen A once, I was like, but wait, you handpicked him.
Yeah.
Like, I know, but like, but, and then things change, whatever. And again, like, that's the kind of drama that I don't care about really, because at the end of the day, there's always going to be drama at any company.
Right.
It's what you choose to do with it as that person in it and as management and leadership. And that's lacking there in many ways, unfortunately. But Stephen A, super talented. Skip, Shannon Sharp. I covered Shannon Sharp when he was with the Baltimore Ravens when they went on their Super Bowl run the first time in 2000, 2001.
Yeah.
Look at what Shannon's done as a former Hall of Fame tight end. Look what he's done.
This week's episode brought to you by Manscaped, baby. I'm full facial trimmed up because of the Manscaped. We've talked about them many times on this podcast. One of the best products that I have in my bathroom. I think, what else do I have? In terms of the things that I'm grabbing first, it would definitely be all the products that Manscaped has sent to us. The Performance Package 5.0 Ultra, the one-stop shop for all your gifting perfection, or if you want to use it yourself, including there's a trimmer, Precise, the Lawnmower 5.0. That one's unbelievable. I got that one and you got them too.
I did, dude. This is the first brand that we have as a sponsor that sent me a package. And let me tell you, I was thrilled.
Look, you're clean shaven.
Oh yeah, I did.
Yeah.
I got home from Michigan for the holidays.
Oh yeah.
Package on my doorstep. Had no idea it was coming.
Oh yeah.
Opening experience. Everything that you guys have ever said about this brand.
Yeah.
Dialed in.
And you were sitting on the sidelines, like, what's it like?
Yeah, I had no idea.
Dang, and they sent you one.
They sent me one. I got like, they have.
There's got to be something for you.
They have so much more than like, I got like.
Have we been underselling it?
I mean, no.
It's everything.
It's everything. Like, I got body wash.
Oh, yeah.
Shampoo.
They come with a newspaper thing?
Like nail clipper things.
Oh, yeah,
the newspaper thing.
Oh,
the whole thing was awesome. I've been telling everybody, all of like my wife's friends, I'm like, get your husband Manscaped.
What are you doing?
It's just like you feel great having one.
And otherwise, if you don't have the whole, you're going to have to mix and match all that.
Yeah.
And you're going to go, they're going to go, where am I? And everything matches, everything slick. It looks like a bathroom or a scenario that this guy knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
This guy knows what he's doing. You got the Weed Whacker 2.0, the nose and ear hair trimmer, the Manscaped Boxers 2.0. Did you get that?
I got the Boxers, baby.
And the new Shears 3.0 nail grooming kit.
I got all of that stuff, dude. They sent me everything. I felt so special.
Dude. If you ever meet Andrew on the street and he's clean shaven, you'll know. 20% off and free shipping with the code NETPOSITIVE at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com and use the code NETPOSITIVE or hit the link in the episode description below. AG1, baby. Taking care of your health isn't as easy. Isn't always easy, but it should be at least simple. That's why for the last year, I've been drinking for longer than a year. At least the last year, I've been drinking AG1, baby. People look at me on the street and like, what's different about you?
And it's not the cold plunges.
No, it's not. No, I have not taken Nary a cold plunge. AG1 is each serving. AG1 delivers my daily dose of vitamins, minerals, and pre and probiotics. Sorry, and more. It's a powerful, healthy habit. It is also powerfully simple. I know that with AG1, I'm giving my body high quality nutrition. Every batch of AG1 goes through a rigorous testing process, so you know it's safe and our ingredients are sourced from absorption, potency, and nutrient density, baby, with AG1. Look at these. I mean, dude. If you're watching, if you're listening on Spotify, I just hit my muscle. If you're watching on YouTube, you obviously, you get the full package, baby. AG1, first thing in the morning, I do some ice cubes with mine. It's in the recommended in the morning for optimal nutrient absorption. Shake it like a salt shaker. That's not in this script at all. I fill up my shaker with extra cold water, add one scoop of AG1, shake it up, boom, ready to go. I get the travel pack sometimes when I go on the road too.
Nice.
Oh yeah, baby. Each is an individual serving of AG1 that's easy to mix on the go. That's what I have, and helping ensure my daily nutrients no matter what. Healthy aging shouldn't feel as complicated. AG1 helps fight that as well. The thought of taking multiple supplements. I know a guy I used to work with, he would take a whole handful of vitamins.
Oh,
God. And he would just take them in the water at once.
Oh.
I can't do that. But I do get the AG1, baby. There's one product that I've recommended to elevate your health. It's AG1, and that's why we've partnered with them for so long. I think since we started having ads, we've had AG1.
For sure, yeah.
If you want to take ownership of your health, start with AG1. Try AG1 and get free 1-year supply of vitamin D3 plus K2 and 5 free AG1 travel packs with your purchase exclusively at drinkag1.com/netpositive. That's drinkag1/netpositive, or hit the link in the episode description below. I think everyone loves sports. Is that true? Is everyone, for the most part, does everyone love sports? I think so.
Not.
Here's what I'll say. The reason why I wanted to be a sportscaster, besides like wanting to understand how these men at the time, more so men on, you know, back in the 80s when I decided this, men, women, like I wanted to know about their greatness. And yeah, I couldn't understand how you could like you work your whole life for this one moment. You're at the Olympic Games and it's the 100-meter dash. And like your whole life comes down to these 11 seconds.
Yeah.
How do you not crap your pants and run off the line and be like, forget it, or melt down and have a terror? I always wanted to know about that. I thought it was amazing. The other reason is because I, even as a kid, I saw like, sports brought people together.
Yeah.
And you can be at Giant Stadium and 80,000 people who, don't know each other, you know, 99% don't know each other, different race, gender, politics, socioeconomic status, none of it matters. And so for those 3 hours, it brings people together. And I think that that's the one thing that like isn't divisive or shouldn't be. We have created it in some ways with the political stuff we've allowed into sports.
Yeah.
But I think,
remember that Boston, remember that Bruins game after the bombing?
Oh my gosh.
And I've pointed to like a couple in my lifetime that you always go, it's like almost makes me emotional a little bit because it's sports. But everybody goes, so are we going to have the game?
Yeah.
Like when something, I'm talking about when something horrific happens.
How they about go, 9/11?
Are we going to have the game?
Yes.
9/11 is the purpose. I remember that everybody singing that national anthem at the Bruins game. And I was like, and I've been to a couple Nashville games because we've had a bombing here. We've obviously had weather situations. We've had a couple like, that we've had the shooting, where else is everybody going to get together?
I know.
At a game.
Remember that first pitch thrown by George Bush right after 9/11?
Yeah.
Everyone remembers.
Andrew,
it was
9/11 was, it was a sin. How did he explain it to him? He doesn't know about it.
So these,
it's like
these
Pearl Harbor
terrorists
to him.
From the Middle East came over.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh yeah. George Bush. Was it the Yankee game?
Yeah.
God. Yeah. I wouldn't have the same at the Mets game.
And a hell of a first pitch, which is a hard thing to do. And he just down the middle, and the emotions, like the country was so together.
Gosh, this gives me chills.
I actually tweeted something about this like a couple of weeks ago, and it was the USA junior hockey that won the gold and at Worlds, which the American kids, that's not, you know, I don't know that it had happened before. And I remember being so impressed because TSN in Canada on Twitter posted all of the kids, the American kids, you know, red, white, and blue jersey on the ice, belting out the national anthem.
Yep, I saw
and
that.
It brought tears to my eyes because these are like 18-year-old kids who get it and are proud of that jersey. That is something that I think is a problem and with sports these days and what we've gotten away from it. And I remember TSN Canada showed that. ESPN didn't show it, didn't tweet it, nothing. And I'm like, oh, I'm so sad because, like, again, it's a uniter.
Yep.
And sports is what makes – one of the things that makes this country
brings everybody
great,
together. Yeah.
You know?
And by the fact that we talked about the – when was that we talked about the national anthem? Because we I went to the Preds Flames game. The Preds – we played against Calgary. Remember? We talked about this like a month ago. And their national anthem, we sang it. But I was like, well, I'm not – I was like, I'm not going to be disrespectful, but I was like, I'm not for this. Like, I don't live in this country.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not going to turn my back on it, but I'm not going to. And I was like, I wonder if Canadians sing the national anthem. And I was like, oh, by the way, we're in the Olympics. They do the third national anthem, the second and the first, or no?
They just do the gold.
The winner.
Yeah.
Their national anthem.
That's it.
Yeah. But you're
and
like.
And then you stand there with your hand on your heart for. As an American,
as respect.
For the other countries, as respect.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
But people have turned their backs.
Yeah. On,
but that's the other countries, right? If like Ukraine and Russia are playing and they don't, well, they wouldn't support each other, obviously.
Well, those two. Yeah, that's a whole different thing, I guess. Yeah, but like at the end of the day, if a Canadian wins, you know, the gold medal in swimming, you know.
The
American that won the silver is still going to stand. I think Olympics is different because you're on a podium. You're all going to stand.
Yeah.
In 1968, there were, you know, other things and, you know, with the black power, the fist in the air. Obviously, the kneeling has been a thing and the women's national soccer team, you have Colin Kaepernick, like all of those things, which is certainly, again, they're right. I just find the hypocrisy pretty thick with the Rapinos of the world who bitch and moan about the country and then take all those millions and, you know, what do you, So like, not that everyone's saying, I don't think anyone would ever say we're perfect here, my goodness. Yeah. But there's a lot that I you are say, benefiting from by staying in this awful country.
I say when you open the border, everybody's coming this way.
Hello.
Everybody's coming. Nobody's leaving.
Nobody's going. So, don't get me going on that border.
Scoreboard. Yeah. We don't get you going on that. But it is, why comedy, I mean, every comedian that I know post 2020 is like, all our shows are sold out. All the comedians.
What do you think?
Well, it's the same type of thing. So never before, at least since you can say something at your job and get fired.
Yeah.
Or you can tweet something and you can get fired from your job. So what that does is, and obviously you've walked down this road a million times, is they go, well, I'm not saying it.
Yeah.
So they see Megan Rapinoe or Colin Kaepernick or the border or let's not even take a side. Let's not even take a political side. They see it and they go, well, I have some thoughts about that because I pay taxes. Mm-hmm. I live in this country and I have some thoughts and I don't want to get fired. So who says it?
Yeah.
The comedian.
You're the only
I'm not saying
it's true.
But you go, we'll go to the comedy show because that guy is going to make fun of it.
Yes.
Because
we need someone.
And it's felt like after it's post-COVID, everybody is like, I say these things from stage and let's say we're in Des Moines, Iowa. And somebody goes, I didn't know 3,000 people in Des Moines, Iowa also thought this.
Yeah.
They were like, and everybody's now has permission to like, wait, what? And I think
that's a great point.
With SportsCenter, I think I say on the comedy show, I go, all this comedy show is just the group text with your buddies out loud. That's all this is. So you watch SportsCenter and the things they choose to cover.
Yeah.
And you go,
why?
Yeah, that's it. But that's all. As a citizen of this country, that's as far as you go. You go, and then you either kind of put it out of your mind or move forward.
Yeah.
You just go, what?
Well, in their case, they've taken a lot of hits for that. because
over time, and you go, all right, I can't
stop it, shove it down our throats. Yes. And we just want to come here for actually an escape and to, you know, oh my gosh, the Eagles and look what happened, you know, and now you're going to yell and scream. And let me see that play again or whatever it is. Like that's why you come there.
Yeah.
If you want all the politics and the divisiveness, you can go to Fox News or CNN or
somewhere
any of them.
Yeah.
Like you have all those options. So that's why I always used to say to my bosses, like, remember in the 80s, Michael Jordan said it, Republicans buy sneakers too.
Yeah, I've said that on this show before.
It's so true. Like, keep it out. We want everybody to watch. We want everybody to do it.
Yeah.
But you're so right because you're saying the things that people are afraid to say.
But they all see it.
We're not dumb. Totally. And I get a ton of DMs and texts from
sure
people like, thank you, keep saying it. And it's also like they want to and they feel like they want to stand up for like transgender sports issue right now.
Yeah.
So many parents now who are like, please don't stay quiet. Please don't stay quiet.
And
part of me on a real serious level I feel like that is my obligation with this little platform to speak up for young girls who are being pushed out of some spots in sports and it's not, you know, the safety, whatever. But with you, and I sometimes in watching you, it's funny because it's like you'll crack up a little bit right before you say it or as you're saying it because you know, like,
oh, this is gonna be wild. Someone's gonna,
And you'll have that smile and then, and then you go there and then there's a roar and a huge applause and it's like,
Hey, I'm just saying. Yeah.
But it's true.
Yeah.
And it's true. And so you're able to go there. That does explain it really well. Like, and making people uncomfortable, like saying things that make people uncomfortable.
Yeah.
But then adding levity to it.
And in a way, well, we talked about the, like, with what Caitlin Clark has done at Iowa. And then was it Nebraska with the volleyball game? It was like, they sold the whole football stadium.
Yeah.
So you go, I said this a month ago. I go, we love women's sports. We're not, we're now when Megan Rapinoe says you have, and that's what we're against.
Yeah.
We love the WNBA, but when they say you have, then we go, we're not, nobody in this country is against.
No one is.
They're against that attitude.
Yes.
And we love, like, what Caitlin Clark has done what Nebraska volleyball has done, Megan Rapinoe has to be like, maybe it was me.
Right.
It's like, why is nobody at these WNBA games? And they were like,
stop it.
I was like, what?
And you've got, I mean, Hollywood people wearing those orange WNBA jerseys and they're sold out. One of my best friends is Becky Hammond, the coach of the Las Vegas Aces and what she's done. And she was the first full-time female assistant in the NBA under Greg Popovich.
Yeah,
that girl, she can ball, she can bring it. She can the guys, the Hall of Fame athletes, the Hall of Fame NBA players, future Hall of Fame, they respect her. They go to her to talk hoops, right? And she's somebody you need to have on.
Oh yeah, we'll have Becky Hammond on here.
Trust me, you will have a blast.
I want to know the Greg Popovich stories.
There's some good ones, right?
Yeah,
but like
tons.
You know, I won't speak for her, but there's a lot of people in basketball, NBA and WNBA, for example, who roll their eyes at some of the stuff that's going on. And it's like, we look at the sellouts everywhere. Look at the ratings for women's college basketball.
Right.
Look at what she did with the WNBA. They hadn't had a repeat team win the championship since, I think, the Los Angeles team 20 years prior.
Sure.
Like, the numbers are so high.
Yeah.
I almost feel like, forgive me, saying, oh my gosh, no one's paying attention to women's sports. It's almost like the same people who like, the race baiters on Twitter, who you want to keep saying, you know, how oppressed Black people are, because it makes them money to continue to keep those topics out there with the plight of this or that, or, oh my gosh, this is so terrible. Look at the women's sports coverage.
Yeah.
Look at the diversity throughout America. Is there still room? Of course. But like, this isn't, I don't see this as a racism issue every single day, but people are making money by saying these things, making money by saying, poor women, there's no sports coverage. What are we doing? You're not watching then.
Yeah.
There's money to be made. That's why they're saying it.
Yeah. Hmm. That's a good, we're oppressed or that's a good like angle.
Yes, because everybody's just afraid to say you're not oppressed because then you're going to be a misogynist or a racist.
And you have to look in the mirror.
Yeah, but they're all afraid because in corporate America, it's like, oh gosh, if I say this, then that means I'm a racist.
Yeah.
No, it means it's factual.
Yeah.
And look at the numbers and look at what we've done. But there's so much fear that is creating this society.
And everybody, I remember, I always look back, remember, I mean, I'm sure you were in the height of it with the Bubba Wallace thing.
Yeah.
It was like, you look back on it and it's like cringe to like the cover. It was like, it's not true, but it was such a, like, everybody was watching the race that week.
I know.
Everybody was, it's a race, but that's been since the beginning of human history.
Yeah.
The idea of race and differences.
But that's why it cracks me up when people say, and this is going to be taken the wrong way. Here we go. Eradicate racism. Okay. As long as there are humans walking this earth, there's going to be racism.
A little presumptuous.
Yeah. Like, we're just going to change the mindset of people. And oh, by the way, I think most of us are probably guilty of some sort of prejudice one way or another in our own lives. But to say we're going to make it go away, does it mean that we shouldn't keep trying? Of course not.
Absolutely.
If you have a situation and where, I don't know, you're at a party and one of your boys, women, whatever, is saying racist things, you don't have to punch them out. But it's like, really, dude? Like, what's that about?
That's not, what are we doing?
What are we doing?
Yeah.
Call them out, have a conversation, move on. But I think it's naive to think, and by the way, it's not just in America.
Yeah.
It's everywhere. Of course. It's not going to go away. If I walk into Shanghai, I'm going to be treated differently because I don't look like them. And it doesn't mean that there's hatred necessarily. Yeah. Maybe there is. But to think, it's just very naive to think that we're going to make it go away. We all do our part. Have the conversation if
progress,
your friends are
obviously
saying things with your family.
Yep.
Lead with kindness. But
it's like a great, like, I think Theo Vaughn had Tucker Carlson on his podcast, and he goes, it's such a it's such a fake distraction.
Totally.
Race, everything, races. That's the one thing you don't want to be caught being these days.
Right. That's what happened to Chris Harrison.
It's the height of everything. And it's like they were in essence saying, is like, are there problems? Yes. Do we need to progress? Yes. But he goes, that's everything, that the real issues are like not being discussed.
They're trying to create it. Yeah. And it's also but when you look at how it's been acceptable on the other side at these universities and all the DEI stuff, and it's okay to say all white people are racist, evil people.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. That's also racist.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
1 + 1 equals 2. So I just refuse to be quiet about that. And listen, people say, well, you can say that. You're biracial. My mom's white, Irish, Italian, my dad's black. It doesn't take being half of each to be able to have a voice on it.
Sure.
It takes common sense. And then honestly, at some point in your life, you know, it's one thing to speak privately with friends and family if you notice something or whatever. It is another thing to go public with it.
Yep.
I think that's kind of the beauty of age in some ways for me, where I'm like, I don't care. I've been canceled so many times that I don't care. This is wrong. And I don't care if you're green.
Yeah.
Like, it still can be racist. And I feel like if I don't call it out, then I'm a hypocrite to my family, to my kids, and to myself.
To God. Yeah.
100% to God. And that faith has really made me less afraid.
I've obviously been through it being canceled. You've been through it. And we always try to make this podcast about how is it relatable to everybody listening, right? So everybody's an employee somehow. Everybody is a parent. Everybody is, when is it time to go, when to speak? Because a lot of people, right, if you have this, you go to these HR meetings at your office, you go, 100%. And then privately, you and your buddies, you're like, we're not doing that. Or something is being taught to your kids in school that you go, should we now? And this is either side, right or left. And you go, I'm going to allow that. I'm going to tolerate that versus, hey, no more.
No more.
I'm taking my kids out of school. Mm-hmm. Or my buddy left. He used to live in Chicago. He's like, these lockdowns are, it's
crazy.
It's too, I'm picking up my family and we're moving.
Yeah.
Like, when I feel like everybody, whether you're a member of an organization, a school board, a community, a city, you've kind of, things, I'm guessing you disagreed with them long before you left.
Long time.
And you go, well, maybe I'm going to tolerate it.
Yeah, because it is a personal decision.
Has to be.
And what's right for me is not right for you. But I knew, I said this, I went on Megyn Kelly's show right after I settled the lawsuit and left ESPN in August.
I went on too.
I love her.
I like Megyn Kelly.
Love her.
Like
she's Megyn brilliant.
Kelly. Yeah, she's very smart.
So smart.
Yeah.
And we had the same attorney too. Yeah. So that's how we got connected. And she's like, girl, you're fine.
Girl,
you're gonna be fine.
Get down here. Okay. Yeah, I think she said the same thing to me. Yeah.
Girl. I told her this and I came to me as I was saying it, but I didn't know what my line was until it was crossed. Mm-hmm. And then it was like, I'm done.
Yeah.
No more. Yeah. And yeah, I mean, and I this is what I always say too. I understand the fear. I understand why people stay silent because you
terrifying.
Have mouths to feed. Yep. You have a mortgage to pay. You yep. have all these responsibilities. And if you think that that could get you in trouble, you're not going to take that risk. And I get it.
And you shouldn't, maybe.
Correct.
Yeah. Yep.
For me, I knew at that moment that I had already been crushed by my network for just being true to myself. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Everyone else was allowed to be true to themselves. And that's yeah. where there was the inconsistency. It's like, you can't allow that for some and not others. Either yeah. you're diversity of thought or not, but you can't pick yep. and choose based on the narrative that your company employs. So for me, that was it. When they crushed me and I was like, well, I have nothing to lose, but I'll say this. Like for me, I did bury it for so long and I thought that I was doing a good job of it.
You just go, And then you kind of, yeah.
Well, and then it builds. It built and built and built. And especially you started yep. in 2016 and Trump, and then people started yep. to, and then it was okay to.
Are people talking off air, not off air, but employees
yeah.
say what how they feel about things?
Quietly. But
you have to.
Certainly, well, if you're on the left there, then they went off in makeup room. It was a free for all. If you're okay, more conservative, yeah. you kept your mouth shut.
Yeah.
Now I didn't as yeah. much, but most did. And I respected it. But it kept building. And then 2020 and pandemic and George Floyd. And then it was yeah. free for all on the airwaves, much less in the makeup room, right? And everybody said what they wanted.
It bled into, yeah, and then the programming.
Everywhere.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah, yeah.
And then for me, and I'll say this, like I felt for my kids I needed to be quiet. And because their mom's a public figure yeah. and they're just trying to be normal kids in high school or whatever. And then teachers would say things yeah. to them about their mom and I felt terrible.
So you have to weigh all of these things.
It's
as
not
with
just
everybody
me.
Does with their mortgage and their house yeah. and their kit and all
my
this
kids.
Stuff. And you go, hey, maybe it's best for me to keep quiet.
Yeah. It's better. It isn't just about me wanting to have a voice. And it, yeah. even though I knew that I maybe could impact and help others, especially yeah. with the race thing and biracial being told that you're not enough, you're not black enough and
yeah.
you're not white either. So what are you? Like that is very something I'm going to continue to speak on because every time I have, yeah. I have a lot of biracial people and you know, parents who are like, how do I help me guide my kids,
absolutely.
Biracial kids? So I yeah. feel a responsibility because I'm no longer afraid. But I went to my, the night before my lawsuit dropped, I went to my, each of my kids and just told them like, this is what's happening and
yeah.
don't feel like you have to defend me. I just need you to know. And I, you know, two girls and my boys in the middle. And I said, just, you never have to defend your mom. If someone says something, just say everybody has the right to their opinion and even my mom and leave it alone.
Wow.
And then I said, but I want to apologize for anything that might come your way. I was crying. I said, but know that I love you. And if we are going to make a difference in this world, that we have to find a time to stand up. And I said, this is my time and it's going to be ugly, but I got to do this for all of us. And my son, John, my son looked at me and he was 17 at the time. And he goes, Mom, it's about time you stood up for yourself. And I was like, oh my gosh, I thought they wanted me to be quiet because.
For them.
Yes. And in the meantime, he had seen me, didn't say it, seen me just taking it and being quiet.
Yeah.
And then I thought, shame on me for waiting, right?
Yeah.
So you never know. And I think we assume what others think.
Yeah.
And I realized then that was my time.
Yeah.
And even if I had gone on to lose the lawsuit, I knew it would have been worth it because for me,
otherwise,
for my
what?
Children
yeah,
to see
yeah.
that and then to help others along the way,
yeah.
like it's a blessing to finally not be afraid. And I meant that about my faith. Like
to say it, yeah.
Literally. God has lifted me up off the ground too many times to count. Ugly cry, a lot of ugly crying. But
same.
Like, right? And and the fact that you're still here and you're encouraging others to do it is like everything.
Well, I think I guess you see, I mean, you kind of, what I go through, or you kind of see these other people that have been, I don't know what you say, canceled, or they have stood up for what they believe in. And I say, if you are far right and you say, hey, we need to, it's either way. If you go against, if what you're saying is costing you, I go, we should listen to them. We should listen to them.
I love that.
Because if you're if you're far left and you go, hey, I'm just making up a DeSantis has some good points on listen to them. Or if you're far right and you go, hey, I don't agree. Like if it's going to cost either your employer or go against your employer or your base or even comics, just socially stay. Yes. Now, sometimes people just do it for attention and that's different. Mm-hmm. But when somebody says, hey, I really believe in this and this is going to cost me fans, advertisers, possibly my job, I go, these are the people to listen to.
Yeah.
These are the people to listen to.
It's a great point. And because it is scary for them, but they've had to make a decision.
Terrifying.
And I also think that when someone is being, they say something and then they're being attacked.
Yeah.
Are they being attacked based on what they said and like disputing facts, or are they being called names and called you're a racist, you're a misogynist? Because when they call you names and don't talk about your actual words and the facts, that says what? It's like, they don't want to face the fact that you might be right, but I'm going to crush them because I just don't like them. And
the only,
you got to listen to them.
The only thing that's ever been offensive to anyone is truth.
Oh, yeah. So right.
That's true. I mean, every time I've been crushed for like a joke, is there like, maybe it was too soon or maybe it was, but it was true. And that's what
how do you
anyone on
that,
either
though?
Side hates.
Like, how, like,
well, you can't just be, it still has to be, sometimes it's, you take too much of a social stance. I'm a comedian. Still, I still have to lead with, I have to be funny. And sometimes if it's a little too aggressive, then it's like, all right, there's probably some truth to it. It might have been a little too much, but I believe in it. And every time I press publish, that's why I like people that have kind of, every time I press publish on Monday morning to a video, it's like, are you sure?
I know.
Are you sure you believe in this? Because if you like this, if it, is this the one where you're going to like put your, defend this? Now, hopefully it is received
with the intent,
with the tone that it's a joke, and but if is this the one? And then every, like, I got a mortgage my whole career every time I press publish.
Every time.
Not really anymore. I'm not scared anymore, but yeah.
But it takes a long time to get there, and yes. And you do have to sit there, and it's like, okay, did I say the right thing? Because even if you delete it 15 seconds later, someone's got
somebody
it.
Saw it. Oh yeah,
someone totally saw
we
it.
We were down at Duck Dynasty. I did a show down in Baton Rouge. You know that
cool.
show.
Cool. Yeah.
These old guys, and they, none of them have social media.
Yeah.
And they were like, they go duck hunting during the day. They called off their duck hunt so I could come be on their podcast.
Oh my gosh.
And they like,
that's awesome.
They're not on social media, and they speak very honestly about their own opinions and their views, and they've been canceled. And I go, what I've been trying to scream to everybody was like, they have no reason to lie to you.
Right.
They don't need your money. They don't need your fame. They're not even on social media. They have no reason to lie to you.
No.
But when you see like a politician, you were like, we need, it was like, yeah, because, or you see ESPN, let's say defend the NFL. It's like, yeah, they have,
there's money,
$1 billion to make sure that this game is not that games, people are throwing games, but like, can you not see
how
invested
connect.
And then if you say, well, Stephen A. Smith or whoever is like, yeah, well, they are getting paid from there. So that I think it's clear to everyone, but it might not be.
Well, even when Stephen A. went on and discussed my situation, like, is he going to be honest and say,
no, because you're not
they
paying
crushed
him.
Her.
You're not paying him.
He's not going to say the people that are paying him. Yeah. They crushed her and she just settled this lawsuit. Like, and so I think when we can take the personal, that personal side out of it, which is super hard.
Very hard.
Oh my gosh. Because I still, I've gotten better. So sensitive. And I am a people pleaser. And it's like, oh gosh, I hope they like me, but I'm nice. And why wouldn't they like it? It's also, it's exhausting personally, professionally, in all those ways. Yeah. And so once you let go of it and you're okay putting it out there based on what you believe. And oh, by the way, quite often it's about your experiences. And so you're going to tell me my experience is wrong.
Yeah.
And because we form our opinions.
Your feelings.
Based on our experiences. Mm-hmm. So to tell someone that they're fill in the blank because of it is wrong. It's the best thing to get over that fear. It doesn't mean I'm not concerned about paying bills. And when I filed that lawsuit,
of course we all
are you kidding me? I had no idea. Yeah. Like I still don't even know fully what's next. I'm learning. I'm getting there. Oh, it's exciting. But it's like,
you got a lot of money now.
You have to. Oh,
I'm
really?
Just joking. Do I'm I? Just joking. No. I don't want to go.
Do
into
I?
That. No.
I don't really? Want to. You have some hidden account for me that you're waiting to deposit into my. But like, it don't you think it is freeing when you just let go, say what you need to say, stand up for what you believe in, uplift others, knowing that one way or another, like I do have a lot of friends with money who have like guest houses I could go stay in if it all blows up, you know?
Yeah.
Like you guys have.
You come down to Nashville. Oh, yeah.
You guys have casitas and guest houses and mansions.
I don't know about that. But you do want to be, like if I see a lot of people that I was in this very like, very conservative Christian kind of community, which in a lot of ways canceled me, right? Or they said, we don't want you to be, not privately, but publicly.
Yeah.
Okay. And this group, I see a lot of people that are over there still. Mm-hmm. And they're like, a lot of them addicted to things, alcoholic, struggling with a lot of things in their personal life that they are trying to keep a secret, and they are still going down that road. And I just imagine you for another, I mean, you can't work at ESPN for forever.
Right.
So you're going to go another, however many years, do you see people that are still,
well, they're,
I
they're,
see people they're, in the world I used to live in. I go, man, it's so much better over here.
Yeah.
But
they're afraid to make the move, afraid of change.
Yeah.
I grew up as an Army kid. So I moved and I lived in four different countries by the time I was 11. I think that wasn't always easy, but it's all I knew. But that unknowingly prepared me for.
Yeah, we got no whatever security that you have in your house or your suburbs or you never had that anyway. Oh. Yeah.
So it's fine. It was like just you know that you're going to land on your feet one way or another. But I know a ton of people who are quiet and sit on their hands and bite their tongue because of that fear. And I get it and I respect it and I and I've lived it. What I have found, and I was on Tucker's show a couple of weeks ago too. And I finally got to meet Tucker Carlson, who I so respect again, just because of
same thing cost him. Same thing.
Very costly. Yep. And is he financially secure? Of course, but there's still a lot to that. Isn't just the money. People think it's just the money.
Yeah.
It's not. And he and I talked and it was so cool. He said, what's it been like? And I said, it's crazy because I almost think I was, it's almost cult-like in some of these places that are so big and you know, there's a lot of—
Right or the left, right or the left, whatever, if just by the nature of the size.
And we both were like, there's a whole world out there that I never knew about. I never knew.
I feel the same way.
And it's so cool to be— Will I always be a sports fan and hopefully interviewing athletes and coaches? Heck yeah.
Sure.
But like, how cool to get to talk to you and Tucker and other people that—
Oh, you didn't even know this existed. I feel the exact same way.
Whole world. And to have conversations, this is the most important part, to have conversations I would never have been allowed to have because of the restrictions and the parameters where it's like, you must be a robot and only say this, you know?
And
I could never have come on to talk to you.
Yeah. And here you are.
And look. Yeah.
Well, it's interesting because I always think about like the girl that sat in front of the tank at the Tiananmen Square or the silent sit-ins or Rosa Parks. They all had, they took the bus every day.
Yeah.
And they go, not anymore. Right? They did. Or she goes, they said, "Do you got to move to the back of the bus?" And she goes, "No." And I don't know if she planned on doing that that day. I would imagine not.
Yeah.
I don't know. But you go, "No, I'm not doing it."
That's what happened to me.
That's so, and I don't want to put myself in that category because my situation wasn't, I don't want to say like I'm a martyr for, like, my situation is different. But to say, I can't anymore. Is so, I just look up to it so much, I think.
You make me cry.
Well, that she goes, or the silent sit-ins or whatever you say about race, or they, somebody goes.
No more.
At a staff meeting, somebody raises, not that it's always, those are the significant in history that we all know about, yeah. But somebody goes.
It does happen every day.
"Hey, I'm not doing it."
Yeah. It's right? Wrong.
Yeah, there's the guys that with the Pride Night, the NHL team. Mm-hmm. They go,
"Yes.
No, it no, took no." And then
it's sad that it takes courage for that because they're like, "No, I don't care who you are. Of course we want all the colors of the rainbow to be here and cheer for the Predators and whoever it is, you know?" Like, and it was the Rays players who were like, "I'm not rainbow patch
was
on
it
my
baseball?
Jersey." Baseball.
I think it's done. It happened in hockey too
after the Rays thing.
Nah.
And there's people on ESPN who were calling all the Rays players bigots because they want to wear a patch. It's like, it's not about that. It's just, why are we dividing?
They should be allowed to. If you're allowed to, they should be allowed to.
Do whatever you want.
And then when that person goes, "Hey, like Aaron Rodgers talked a lot about the guys that didn't get a vaccine in like the like second, third string, and everybody in the NFL wanted to get to 90%. Mm-hmm. So they're cut.
Cut them.
Bye. If you're Aaron Rodgers, we can figure something out. But if you're third string defensive lineman and you're like, "I'm not getting the vaccine," you're done.
Absolutely.
You're done.
But that's one of the things that, like, Aaron had people reaching out to him.
Yeah.
Like, "Thank you, dude." But they were afraid. And these guys make six or seven figures.
He could because of the money and how good he is.
But a lot of them could. Tom Brady could have.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Oh,
Travis
point.
Kelce
yeah,
could have. Travis Kelce's gone the opposite direction.
Yeah, yeah.
Literally.
I make a joke about in the show about the Travis Kelce commercial.
I mean, right? And I love Travis. I'm friends with Travis. But like at the end of the day, there's a lot of people selling out for a whole bunch of stuff
now. Yeah.
But I actually think the professional sports is a bad example of people who have chosen to sit quiet because that's the 0.01% where the minimum you're making is $500,000, I think, ish.
Right.
But the vast majority.
Across all the leagues.
Right. And so for all the professional athletes, you actually, now, I'm not saying it's not going to cost you.
Right.
In some ways, right? But Aaron wasn't the only one that could have afforded to do it.
He's the only one I know about.
He's the only one who.
That's crazy.
He's the only one who did. But I want you to think about the stars at that time.
Oh, yeah.
Right? LeBron. Yeah. LeBron easily could have said it, but I still don't believe that a lot of these guys got it.
Yeah.
There's no way. When LeBron initially said no, I'm not going to do it because I spend $1 million a year on my body. Why do I need this?
Yeah.
Then all of a sudden it got quiet. I just don't think that everybody got it. There's no way in hell. not that you could prove it, but there's no way. And I know, and I don't know Tom Brady. I've never met him actually, but I would hesitate to believe that he put that in his body. But the bigger thing is for everyone else to remain silent and allow Aaron to be the only one out there standing up for what has proven to be he was freaking right.
It turns out.
And that's the same thing I said too. Yeah. It's like, but I had to make the decision to keep my job. Literally, I was going to get fired if I didn't do it.
Yeah.
It still makes me sick that I did it at that moment. Today, of course, would be a very different thing and I would tell them where to go.
Right.
But the fact that Aaron was the only one is gross to
me. That's crazy.
Gross. And
that's crazy.
Because I also know how many people were like, "Thanks, dude. Thank you."
Privately. Yeah.
Yeah. Give me a break. Like, grow a pair.
I've talked about it on the podcast before. I never got the vaccine and I had if I would have got arrested, I would have been a hero to my fans. So you know what I'm saying? Or that it's, I not they would have been like, and plus I'm a comedian, kind of like, it's like a rogue, like go against the rules. So me standing up wasn't, it's not going to cost, it'd probably benefit me. I had a fake vax card once to go to the Hawks game because I was sitting courtside.
And they made you show the card to get in.
To go to the Hawks game. Yeah.
That's disgusting.
But again, it's disgusting. So I go, I'm not doing that. I'm not doing it. Ethically, could you go back and forth on whether it should have a fake vax card?
Like
you should probably just not go to the game or something like that. But
stand up. Don't go to the game. Right?
Yeah. But you go, dang, the people, I mean, that's like the whole movie, not to compare our situations to them at all, but Braveheart. Mm. And they were getting the tyranny of the whatever the they were like, you could lying in your beds, dying 30 years from now, would you be willing to give up all those days for one chance to be like, no? And that's why we look back in history at the people and some of the people that have created things and don't even get honored or even respect until after their death. And sometimes 100 years, like if I put out an Instagram story and people didn't like it, I might take it down that day. But imagine believing in something so much that your whole life you're hated on and disagreed with. And then like years after you go, oh, wait, that guy was a good guy.
He was a trailblazer.
Whoever
he
it
had
was.
The courage to do it.
Abe Lincoln goes, hey.
Yeah. Yeah.
No.
I mean, I.
No.
Absolutely not. I hate that it takes so long for people to be recognized.
Yeah.
I think we have to have more of it. Yeah. And I hope that those little stances that we all take every day, publicly or privately, can continue to encourage others to do it. I really said this with the transgender sports topic. Yeah. And they're like, oh, she's just anti-trans and transphobic. I see it every day on Twitter. I get it.
Yeah.
Like, no, I'm not, absolutely not.
Yeah.
But I am pro-woman. And I think that they're mutually exclusive. Like, you can be both,
sure,
like
yeah.
pro-trans, yeah. you do your thing, but we're gonna stick with science here.
Yeah.
And we're using numbers. I know we like science when we like science, hashtag. Yeah. And so I'm gonna stand up for this. And I've always said from the moment I started to and got told not to by my company and like all these things, I was like, wait, we can't pick and choose when we're supporting women. And I've said it on Twitter to my fellow female sportscasters. Just the women. I mean, the men too. Like if we came together on this.
It would end tomorrow.
Completely.
It would end today.
And are you going to tell all of us women to not support other women when that's all you've been preaching? Because pro-women, pro-women. And so I don't understand where everybody is. Because if we came together, this would be over. And all the men at all these sports networks, not just ESPN, who have young daughters who are in high school, college, volleyball, and you're gonna let a guy go? I know not one of them agrees with what they're seeing, and the men are silent too. But it has to start, sadly, with the women, and we could take over. But they're choosing to be silent on this because of whatever fear. It's one thing to stand up about COVID and some of the things I said or Aaron said. That's one thing that was risky. It's another thing for. This is as basic as it gets with women in sports and everybody's sitting on their hands.
Yeah. I mean, we've talked about that here already, that if what devil's advocate, if you're on the, whatever the NCAA tournament swimming and there's a biological male next to you, why jump in that pool?
Why are they doing it?
And But
you do know why.
I don't know. I mean,
look how long it took me. Look how old I am. Those are kids who's number one, shouldn't have to make a decision.
That's it.
And number two, they're like, this is my whole life. This is the only chance I'm going to get. I finally made it to nationals.
I've been swimming for my entire life.
You know, you have your 5 a.m. practices, your 6 p.m. You don't go to you know, out with friends, to parties, to proms, because it's all swimming. And this is your moment.
Yeah.
And at least you're going to get, and like to walk away.
At least it goes doop. And you go.
And you go.
I'm not jumping
in. And if you
in.
Don't, but wait a minute. If their parents, but if their, John, if their parents are silent, if the adults in the room, the coaches,
or
the
telling
administrators,
them the opposite, telling them to go.
Telling them if you don't, then you're going to get kicked off the team. Yep. So the adults in the room are failing these kids.
Yeah.
And so, yes, they're going to jump in. Now, once you're a professional athlete, once you're a sponsored athlete.
Gosh, dude, yeah.
So I always say, I'm not going to bash those people. Yeah,
I think that's important to say.
Fear is real.
Yes.
But
yeah,
it's costly to stay silent.
Yep.
And that's where we are. And we are apparently okay costing. Like, well, it's not that many. The person. Okay. Till it's your daughter. Till it's you.
That's crazy.
And we have a responsibility.
If you said the NCAA tournament is, the NCAA swimming tournament is in Nashville. And I was like, well, I'm not going to go. That doesn't cost me. I'm not in it anyway. Right. I didn't probably want to go. It doesn't cost me anything. You know what I'm saying? But like, the more it costs, I guess that's what this whole podcast is about. It's like, if it's going to cost, but that's the whole gospel as what a Christian is to go, you like, or the Braveheart example, like they're going to take it to death.
Yeah.
We always joke in this podcast about how I like, there's a guy with like very loud exhaust and I'm going to go. And my girlfriend's like, you're going to what? Like, you're going to, how far are you? Or some guy was blocking the parking lot. We talked about this a couple weeks ago and I'll go, I'm going to go talk to him. You're blocking the parking lot. We can't. She's like, you're going to fight him? I go,
right.
I don't know.
Like,
we'll
what's
see.
The goal here?
Yeah. She goes,
what's the goal?
Yeah. But I go, I can't sit here. Like if there was, I remember being outside of a Canada Hawks game outside of the Westin, you know, the big tall, and there was a guy fighting another guy. And I think if they're homeless or something like that, but I go, well, these are two human. I can't just watch this. Yeah. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know if they're armed. I don't know.
You see on the subway in New York all the time, people sit silent because they're afraid they're going to get shot.
And that's what we've talked about that on the show, but maybe not even, but you go, when do you, at some point, it comes for you.
How about that ex-Marine, that young kid who's like 23, who tried to defend the woman and the guy was going crazy. And now, did he end up in jail?
Oh, yeah. Like, on the subway.
Yeah. And you want that young man to step in and defend someone.
For what
he was a big, strong kid. Like, let's, this guy's crazy.
Yep.
He's mental issues. Like, let's, and look what happened. So this is why people stay away, whether it's that or whether it's these hot topics.
And everybody's got their camera on them and they go, well, I'm just, so the same thing then. We're weighing, and you go, I'm not doing it.
Some people don't have it in them. I do believe that. I do believe that. Now, I didn't know that I had it in me. Are you kidding me? Like, it's not just like my boss. It's Disney.
Yeah.
ESPN and Disney.
Yeah.
And I remember I really was scared to death. I mean, I lost a lot of weight. I was, and oh, by the way, I was going to work every day on TV while suing the company. Like, that's a little unique.
Yeah,
usually
only Pat McAfee can
you do that.
No, I'm just kidding.
Usually you do that. Like, lawsuits are maybe 100%. After you're not working at a company.
Yeah.
But it just,
it's a,
you
it's
get
a,
to the point, it's built up. And then, you know, it's almost like, and again, I'm not trying to make it like my situation was, but you go back to like elementary school.
Yeah.
And, you know, you're a smaller kid, and then the big kid in the lunch line is always poking at you. And then I remember my ex-husband said this once, and his father, because when he was younger, he was little, and he said that this kid kept messing with him. Yeah. His dad's like, what are you going to do about it? Yeah. You going to take it? And he left it up to him, and it got to the point that one day the kid like literally elbowed him and threw stuff
at him.
He saw, I mean, he had to reach up, punch him across the face.
Yeah.
The kid punched him back.
Yeah.
And guess what?
Never happened again.
Never happened again.
Of course not.
And so to me, and he was the little guy and this is the big guy. So to me, I was definitely the little person.
Yeah.
Now, is it going to continue to happen? It's Disney. Probably. But my hope, it wasn't just about me to stand up.
Yeah.
Because if anything, it's easier to just stay quiet.
Yeah.
And keep taking it. And I had a good paycheck and like life is good and easy. And I could probably continue to work there for a long time. I knew I was good at what I did and I had good support there.
Yeah.
But my literal prayer in this and the reason why I had to pull the trigger is because it was bigger than me. And I'm hoping that Disney and Apple and Google and every big corporation or small just thinks like, wait a minute, if we're preaching diversity and equity and inclusion and tolerance and acceptance. Right. We have to practice it. And even, and who am I? Some, like, I mean, I'm not a young girl for sure anymore, but like, I was always this scared kid and this pleaser and just so upset to, I would do anything to avoid rocking the boat.
Right.
And then it was like, no more, to your point.
Yeah.
And now you're going to listen to me because it's wrong. And I know a lot of friends who are at these companies who are in fear.
Yeah.
And so if I don't, then shame on me. And now I'm like, what can I do to help? And some people, listen, I've lost a ton of money, sponsors. I've lost tons of gigs, freelance gigs. I've lost friends. I've lost
a ton. Me and Andrew.
Look at the blessings that, like, I'm serious.
I'm just joking.
Andrew, you guys are stuck with me. Yeah. But like, there's so much good 100%. When you bet on what you think is right. Yeah. And most importantly, as a mom, right?
Yeah.
And I don't know if you knew this, and I'll shut up. I've been talking too much. But my dad went to West Point. My dad was the first Black to ever play varsity football at Army. Mm. He's 77 years old, dealing with two cancers. My dad's been through it all.
Yeah.
My mom and dad are my heroes. Interracial marriage, 52 years. Like, you want to talk about really pushing through some stuff?
Yeah,
in 1971, when my mom's family disowned her because she's white, marrying a Black man. Like, let me tell you about like real trauma. Yeah. I haven't been through anything compared to them. And my dad raised us, and I have two younger brothers, on the cadet prayer at West Point. Yeah. And this is the gist of it that he made us memorize. Help me to choose the harder right instead of the easier wrong, and to never tell a half truth when the whole can be one.
Dang, that sounds like something from the Army.
It's definitely military. Oh, yeah. I couldn't have made that up. But like, harder right, it is harder to have a voice. It's easier to be quiet.
Yep.
And then I want the whole truth out there.
Yep.
Not to go bash, but to be like, okay, if I tell the truth, that's the only way I believe things can improve.
Yep.
So that little cadet prayer from West Point that my dad had to recite 10 million times when he was a cadet, he relayed to us, made us memorize it while doing our Saturday morning bedroom inspections and push-ups for every infraction.
If our
bed wasn't made right, we had to drop and give it 10.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's guided me through the toughest times in my life, is like, harder right.
Yeah, well, I feel like a lot of people on the quote, like, the right, like political right, or like, they say these things, but I go, yeah, but it's rewarding to you because your fans are all them.
Yeah.
So it's true. Like, now it's not. So when somebody speaks up and it costs them, that, like, all the people that have the takes, they just have takes on stuff. I was like, but this is
takes,
like,
takes,
this is, they're winning for this. And that's why I liked your story. And I when Will brought you up, I was like, oh, I would love to have her on the show. Cause I
was so surprised.
That's disrespectful. Why?
No, just because I'm just.
Oh yeah.
I forget honestly that I came into people's living rooms for all those years.
Yeah.
Because you're told to stay. Like, you know, I'm super humble, and that's how I was raised. And so it's like, wait, you recognize me? How? And I was like,
yeah, we know.
All those times. And by the way, I didn't blend in. I mean, if I had normal hair, no one would know who I was. Because this, like, in an airport, that's what kind of.
We have our producer is Alex. He's not here today. And I said you were coming on the podcast, and he was so bummed.
What? Why didn't he come in?
Where's Alex? He's on vacation. Yeah, he's on Cancun.
Okay. Alex is a smart person.
We're all discussing in the group text, and everybody's scared to ask this. And I was like, well, I'll ask her.
What?
Did any of the NBA players hit on you?
And that's
wait, but you're in the studio, though. You're in the studio, or are you at the game?
No, because I remember I when I did NBA Countdown for 4 years, I was on the road at the games, hosted.
Oh, they're in the stadium, in the arena,
conference finals and finals.
Oh, yeah.
You know, more, you know, coaches, player. What? But it's not just it's NFL, just NBA.
That's the kind of.
But then I was like, once you're established, they kind of. When you're like, oh, who's this new meat out there? And it's like,
once you're you, then they know. Yeah.
It just, plus I was married. Yeah. I when I was younger and I was having kids while I, like, they're ew. You know, so it's definitely different now at this age where they're all you know, much younger than me. Not that that deters guys.
Oh, the athletes? Let me think. Yeah, the athletes are all in their 20s, I guess.
30s.
I'm 30s. 20s, 30s, early 30s.
I mean, Aaron Rodgers is 40.
Aaron Rodgers is 40.
But you got some. Yeah. I mean, look at LeBron. He's 40.
I graduated high school. I've been watching. It's weird to see, what's his name? I was talking about this last night at the Eagles game, that defensive lineman. I go, Fletcher Cox. Mm. I was texting our group text. I go, I've been hearing this guy's name as long as I've been, like, Tiger Woods.
Yeah.
I've watched the whole thing. Mm-hmm. I was a little bit too young for Jordan. Mm-hmm. So Michael Jordan and Dale Earnhardt. I wasn't into racing then.
Right, right.
I know about Larry Bird, Magic Johnson, but that was before my time. I've watched entirety of Steph Curry.
Yeah.
Entirety of LeBron James.
Yeah.
I watched the entirety. I remember when Drew Bledsoe got benched for Tom Brady.
Oh, you do?
I watched the whole thing.
Wow.
And then you go, whoever, like Charlie Woods or whatever, I go, oh, are we going to watch this whole thing?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I mean, you guys have been in an awesome era, right? Especially with Stephen Curry. Like, I remember hosting all those NBA finals from 2014 to 19.
Yeah.
With LeBron and Steph and back and forth. And first one, LeBron, and, you know, it was the Miami and with Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh.
Watched the whole thing.
Departure.
Yep.
And that was really interesting. And then when he went back to Cleveland and stuff, but like to see the greatness of Stephen Curry, who, by the way, is a great human.
Oh yeah.
And you know, he's like super liberal, super all those like woke, but like, I don't care. That's the beauty of it, right? We can all be different. He's a great athlete. He's a great person, a great father. He came from a great family. Like to see that greatness with the humility, and then all those battles with LeBron through the years. And then listen, I was in Indy and I was covering the Pacers during the Jordan era. And so I got to see all that. And then I was covering the Pacers when Larry Bird took over as head coach of the Indiana Pacers. Like,
I remember that.
A whole different era, the Reggie Miller era. Like, there's so many.
Where were you with the Palace? Were you at ESPN?
I was
then?
Not, no. That was what year?
That was in Detroit, but it was against Indy.
It was against, but what year was that?
Look up Malice at the Palace.
Was that 06?
You weren't in Indy then.
No, I was in DC, I think. Was that, No, because it was Reggie's year. The Pacers would have been
2004.
I said 2004. I was in DC.
Yeah.
And I was a Pacers fan. And I remember being devastated because that was like Reggie's last run.
Yeah, unbelievable.
And that whole thing and our test being crazy.
That was crazy.
But like, I've seen two different great eras. That's why when people try to do the Jordan LeBron comparison,
It's different.
I'm like, just stop. Yeah. Different game.
Yeah.
Different game. And I still think up here, nobody can touch Michael mentally.
What do you mean up here? Oh yeah.
That mental toughness and that, you know, literally dragging people up with you to make you great.
For sure. Yeah.
Now, he was psycho and he did some crazy things. And then I was in D.C. when he took over. Like, he was in the front office and then came down to play with the Wizards.
I remember that.
I was there. That. He like ruined Kwame Brown. He like crushed his soul and he never recovered. I've gotten to see like, to see like a whole
same
bunch
with Michael
of
Jordan. He was sitting up there and he goes, enough. Anyway, that's way different.
He's like, let me show you how it's done, kids.
No more. Yeah.
Enough.
Well, now, exactly. Hey, listen, but now you got a lot of obviously my fans and fans of the podcast are now all rooting for you.
How do you know that?
I know that because they like whoever I
no
like.
One's. Yeah. Wow.
If you're on for here, sure. They go, we have the one thing, me and Alex, and we always get nervous if we are pitched a guest.
Oh,
like if your people say, hey, you should have Sage on because she has that we always that never goes well.
OK,
but so if we choose or like, hey, I saw you. I like your
so
stuff.
Honored. I was so surprised. I was like, really? So number one, thank you.
I feel like that has some racial undertones to it, but I'm going to let that go.
I'm a racist.
Yeah. Why are you surprised that we know?
No, just
want to
that
talk
you'd
to you.
Want to. I'm super honored by that. And you have to forgive me because I told you guys, since I lived in middle of nowhere, Connecticut for the last 17 years, I didn't get out much.
Oh, yeah.
And so I told them, I already looked up
your
schedule.
You're
going to
fit right in with
us.
There's going to be a bunch of my fans that are going to message you and tell you they got we got a man for you. And they're going to,
Listen, if that happens, I'll pay you all a commission. We negotiate the commission now. But I got some parameters.
Oh, yeah. You got some
right?
parameters.
You need to have a job. I need them like 6'2" and up. It's okay to be younger. I'm not afraid.
A job, 6'2".
wait, let's put a minimum right. on that. Though.
Yeah. Job two. You could. Okay. Yeah. All right. We'll keep our eyes on. The fans will too.
Oh, well, sure. When I moved to Nashville and we're neighbors and you let me come fishing on
you. Yeah. Yeah. You come out. Yeah. Sage, we love to have you. Thanks for coming by.
Thank you so much.
Absolutely.
Awesome. Thank you.
I mean, yeah, sure, it was a little weird, but on the net, on the, it was a positive. Was a positive. You cannot be serious. On the net, it's a positive.